Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody. All right. It is Tuesday night. Good to be with you. I'll be sharing a little bit about Jesus with you tonight. In whatever fashion or form that would be, we'll find out. All right. Let's get going here. All right. Make sure to get into the show and get your hand up. If you don't know how to do that, we'll be glad to show you. You can go to 319-527-6027. And I'm going to start saying, welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Click 1 on your phone if you want in. Right? And if you don't want to talk or you just want to listen, you're welcome to do that. We'll give you your privacy. All right? But if you want to talk or you want prayer, then click 1 when it says welcome to Blog Talk Radio. All right? So let's get ready for that. Okay. Hallelujah. Wow. All of a sudden I got hot. Okay, good to be with you guys. We're going to share some things. I woke up the other morning with God sharing some things with me. Different things. So we're going to try to talk about some of those things, some of those revelation things. Revelation isn't always something necessarily perfectly new, as much as it is something that is what he's wanting to say at the time, right? Yeah, so whatever God's wanting to say. Whatever he's wanting to talk about, for whatever reason, he may leave the 99 and go to one person, right? You guys have seen that. We've seen that many times, where the Lord was like leaving the 99 and going to that one. That's really cool that happens. People are a little confused, like, what's going on? Yeah, he leaves the one. He leaves the 99 and goes to the one. It's really interesting when I see that go on. I know he's talking to at least one person. And probably more, if people can hear it. So, hold on a second here. Okay, I did have my volume up. I got my volume up now. There you go. All right, welcome to PGN. Welcome to the place where we do it more than we talk about it. That is minister to you personally. Every Wednesday, we minister to every person. If you call in and you stay patient and keep your hand up, we will minister to you no matter what time it is or how long it takes. We'll pray over you and prophesy over you. So we know Wednesdays, the middle of the week, basically, everyone gets prayed for. And we love that night. It's really awesome. But we love all the nights. Because God is, anytime that you flow in a revelation, the spirit of revelation, you learn to walk in that place to where, God can speak to his sheep. It's kind of like a spontaneous prophetic thing. Meaning that God can say what he wants to say spontaneously. We don't teach on certain things and then just never talk about that one thing again or whatever, go back to it. If the Lord says go back to it, we go back to it, or we try to, and try to learn from it. So, all right, tonight we're going to talk about some really cool things, and hopefully you are ready for this. Do you think people can spend their whole life, born-again believers, you think they could spend their whole life and never do anything for God that received like some type of a reward? You know, rewards are given to us not for doing good things, right, but for doing things that God leads us to do. And that's one thing I think that we're going to be rudely awakened up to one day, you and I, all of us. Many people are going to be rudely awakened to that. I hope it's not too bad for me, honestly, or you. But it is going to happen. I'm going to share scripture with you about that tonight, how that we will be awakened and what's going to happen to those. I'm going to share with you tonight what's going to happen to those who don't really do anything worthy of a reward. I mean, they spend their whole life born again, and I don't want to say they're walking with Jesus, but whatever they're doing with Jesus, they're not doing much, obviously, but they have no rewards at the end. Let's say we know people like that. They get born again, and they never really do anything. I'm not saying they're out there doing a bunch of bad things. I'm not saying they're doing anything bad, but they're not doing anything God wants them to do. Is that person going to lose his salvation? Think about it. Is he going to lose his salvation because he never does anything worthy of the reward of God? We think of rewards as being something that is, you know, some special event that we do in our life that God just shows us. No, it's anything you do that's birthed of God, given you to do by God, you know, by being led, by being guided, like hopefully being part of PGN. You're going to really get blessed with that one, I hope. You know, we're hoping that's going to be your some of you are called to be here. We're hoping that you're going to get huge rewards from that, and as well as myself. We're going to believe God for that. So it's not about what you're doing or how you're doing it. It's who you're doing it for, who's guiding you, who's leading you. And if you never do one thing in obedience to the Lord, not one, I'm going to ask you a question. You get saved when you're 30 and you die when you're 60. You had 30 years of serving Jesus, and you never did one thing in obedience to the Lord that he asked you to do. Would you lose your salvation? What would happen to you? Anybody have an answer to that? I want to share a scripture with you tonight that says very specifically what happens to you. Very interesting. But also what's going to happen to those who do obey the Lord. We've been talking recently about trying to awaken the church to the fact that the Bible's not all blessings. It's about, you know, from God. The Bible has always been about if you obey my commands or and listen to my voice, really, even in the Old Testament. I read the scriptures to you last week, or maybe last couple of weeks, whatever, that if you obey the voice of the Lord your God, right, and his commands, all these blessings will come on you. And he tells very specifically what those blessings are. I read most of them out. But then it goes on down below that, and it says next, and says, but if you don't obey the voice of the Lord your God, and you refuse to listen to his voice and his command, then all these curses will come on you. Right? So we got God blessings and God curses. Right? Well, God didn't do curses. Yeah, well, he does. He does plagues. He does all kinds of things that most people who have interpreted God now to be a good man who would never do a bad thing to a person doesn't know anything about the God in the Bible, because the God in the Bible deals with things justly. He deals with things in love, but he deals with things. And we need to realize that. And the reason that we need to deal with that, because the reason the fear of the Lord has left much of the body of Christ without them even knowing it left, is because of that. Oh, God would never do anything, you know, to hurt anybody. You know, Kenneth Copeland was one of the biggest propagators of that, of anybody that I know. You know, and I love Kenneth Hagin. He loved Kenneth Hagin. Oral Roberts was my favorite, one of my favorite people, my favorite man, I think. You know, and Oral Roberts was kind of into a little bit of that. But Copeland took it to a whole other level and tried to convince everybody that God's a good man, instead of a good God. Saying he's a good God, but meaning trying to make him into the image of a good man. I can understand why people would do that, because they think they're going to get healed if they believe God's good. I understand the thinking on it, believe me, because when he was teaching on it, I was all for it. I just couldn't seem to read the full Bible. I read the Bible pretty regular. I couldn't read the full Bible and go, where's he getting that at? I mean, how does he deal with this, and how does he talk about that? And he would try to explain it, and it just didn't honestly, as a, and I looked way up high to him. It still did anyway. I looked high to him, and I just said, dude, you know, you got, there's something wrong about that. I don't know what it is, but that ain't right. And that was in my many younger days, and I was not trying to be rebellious. I was trying to find faith. I was trying to find love. I was trying to find God being a good God, because I knew old Roberts, who was my favorite man of God ever. I told you about the letter he wrote me one time. Totally blew me away. He handwritten me a letter, and I, you know, you can test it and see. And he handwritten me a letter. I mean, it wasn't a big long one, but it was just, it was like a father to me. I mean, and I loved him with the passion of, you know, of a son to a father. I mean, even though I never talked to him in my life, I went to Old Roberts University, went to some of his meetings. They were really awesome. He was an awesome man of God. But he, you know, was on the fringes of calling God a good God, like Kenneth Copeland was. Kenneth Copeland just kind of, maybe because he was a teacher, took it into more detail. I don't know. That's just, I'm just telling you right out what went on. Not condemning anybody. You know, so kind of all, you can see the connections between, like, Old Roberts and Kenneth Copeland. They were, you know, he loved Old Roberts just like I did. He loved Kenneth Hagin just like I loved Kenneth Hagin. I loved Old Roberts more, but that's a little bit more. Because I guess because of the letter he wrote me, I don't know. That is a little bit of a connection there. And I was very thankful to him. And he's very I wanted to be like him. He was a compassionate man with love, yet had a big vision. And that really impressed me. Catherine Coleman, as you guys know, is my other person that I love. So this is my favorite man and my favorite woman. Okay. Yeah. All right. So why did I go there? I don't know exactly. Why did I go there? We're teaching about, you know, some of the things that God's trying to line us out on, if you will, and get us to get straight, get us to get it right, so that we can understand who God really is. It's about understanding who God is. It's not about having everything correct and perfect. It's more about having our doctrine correct so that you can understand who God is. If you got your doctrine all messed up and you're trying to make God a good man instead of a good God, then you're going to mess up that image of him, and it's going to, the reverential fear and awe of God in you is going to be missing. Therefore, sin's going to be more rampant in the body of Christ, right? You're trying to make God a good God that never would, you know, do anything bad, you know, whack anybody. You know, and then you open up the book of Acts where grace just got poured out, and there God is whacking somebody. I mean, come on. It's just this, it's like going, God doesn't whack anybody in the New Testament when grace just been poured out. Oh my God. It just, you know, you just have to read the Bible when you read the Bible and keep reading the Bible. And this is what the Bible says. If it contradicts what somebody says, it doesn't mean that they're bad, wrong, or evil. It just means that they're trying to maybe overemphasize something because they think people think God is a bad God. So they're trying to become into a good God, you know, counteract the thing. Doesn't make it right, but that's what they do. All right, so therefore, the fear and reverential awe of God is not in penetrating through your life when you try to make God into a good man instead of the good God, what a really good God is, what truly God's goodness is. So, therefore, we end up with people who don't obey the Lord and who live in sin, who live in rebellion against God, and many times don't even know it because they've got it ingrained in them that there's no fear and reverence of God. So therefore, we're talking about rewards tonight and treasures, and I'm going to give you very specific scripture tonight. It's probably going to blow your mind. I don't know, maybe not. But I'm going to show you very specifically what happens to people who are born again. They live all their life and do not have one reward. In other words, they did not do one thing. One thing. God rewards his people for doing what he asks you to do. Doesn't matter how little or how big it is. God only rewards those people who do the big things. Well, then why would you want to just, if you're into the little things, then why would you even try to, you know, obey God, you know? Because rewards have nothing to do with just loving Jesus. They have to do with providing you provision for the future. Yeah, and when we start seeing, one thing that's been misrepresented is what rewards are all about, which we're going to get into more of that as we go. I'm going to give you more scripture about how I know that rewards from God of fulfilling the word of God in your life, the will of God in your life. Not just there to give you money to have, you know, cool, look, everybody, I got money because I obey God once. You know, it's just more of when you obey God, no matter how little or how big it is, he rewards you for it, right? When you're little, when your children do little bitty things, that don't mean nothing. Look, mommy, I wiped off the countertop, you know, and you look at the countertop, come and look. And you go look at the countertop in the bathroom, it's like, you know, it still looks just as, almost as bad as it did, but you don't look at her and go, you know, that's just worthless, right? You reward, oh, honey, that is so good. Good job. Because for them, it might have been better than what you cleaned it, being your age, than what they did it at their age. In comparison, it might have been better than when you cleaned it, even though it's still all, you know, messed up. But in their eyes, they did a really great job. And so, you know, we have God looks at our obedience to him like that. The little things and all the big things, everything combined together. God rewards us for every bit of it. He just rewards us. That's just what he does. We do it because we love him, and he rewards us because he loves us, so that we can have something to supply the needs for the purpose and the future that God has for us. Amen? That's why he does. Why does he do that? He gets you connected in to obeying him. And then he provides for you. Why do I want provision for that? Well, if that provision came kind of from out of the blue from God, then you better might want to look at that for that provision, where that provision came from and why it came and why you were looking for provision over here and it came over here. Well, but I wanted rewards over here. I wanted more money for this over here. And God says, yeah, but when the reward came, he blessed you with something that he's calling you to, and you may be not looking at it good enough, so he's going to start rewarding you, multiplying, increasing what he's called you to do. Right? When I got into the prophetic realm, instead of trying to be a healing evangelist, God just started rewarding it, man. I mean, it just started being rewarded. Little things, big things, just all over the place. And the more he rewarded me, the more I stepped into it, the more I did things he called me to do, and sometimes the more sacrifice it takes on your end, the bigger the reward. You know, if he knows it's going to cost you, it's costing you, and he knows it's costing you. Sometimes he set it up to cost you. Oh, believe me, honey, he doesn't look at that like, oh, that's no big deal. No, he looks at that as his son giving his life. He looks at that as Jesus who paid the price for you. Yeah. All right, I want to read one scripture to you. I heard some preacher say today, I didn't really get this out of the word, I just happened to hear him talk about it. I can't believe he's talking about treasure. She said about treasure and reward. Hebrews 11:26 says, make me the head and not the tail. Talks about the thing. Let me go to that scripture exactly here. Hebrews 11. Let's go to Hebrews. Hebrews 11, 26. Okay, here we go. All right. We're talking about here by faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God and rather than enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, deeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. He looked to the reward. So Moses is looking to the reward. You know, God says things before you. Says, man, you know, there's something really big in this for you. And he draws you in and all. God is a businessman, a very smart person. He knows how to draw you into something. So he got Moses, verse 24, Moses, by faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of rather than the riches of the and riches than the treasures, reproach of the Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. Right? All this whole Hebrews 11 is about the reward of faith. You know, some people didn't get the reward back then. Moses waited a long time for every reward, but sometimes when you choose the reward of God, it's going to take some time. And the enemy tries to bring you cheap rewards that for the sinful pleasures of this world, like with Moses being called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, rather chose to suffer with God's people. You know, he chose something that didn't look all that great. He chose something that wasn't exactly something that you and I go, that's a good investment, you know, bunch of poor slaves. You know, it wasn't a good investment. It wasn't nothing about that. What good things? But he looked with different eyes, right? He looked with the eyes of faith. And the eyes of faith, there's a reward system that goes on, and it has nothing to do with greed and the lust of the flesh. It had to do with, you know, he knew God was going to reward him for that, and he wanted that reward, the reward of doing God's will, right? The reward of being God's servant. So there are rewards that come, and Moses was blessed with many rewards. All right, so let's go back here to, I want to get into my scripture that I want to talk to you about tonight, because tonight the Lord showed me these scriptures. The point of that whole scripture right there was that the rewards sometimes take time. You pay a price for it. You suffer for it. You may lose your fame. You may lose your name sometimes going after what God has you go after to see if you want it bad enough. If you want his reward rather than the reward of the sinful pleasures of Egypt. Right? Yeah. All right, so let's move into the scripture I want to talk about tonight. All right, so we're talking about, can a man spend his whole life serving Jesus? Let's say you're 30 years old, you get saved. You die when you're 30 years old, so you got 30 years being with the Lord. You didn't do one thing in obedience to God, not one, in obedience to God for rewards, right? You don't do things to get saved. You accept Christ as your Savior. That is a gift given to you. It's grace. Unmerited, undeserved favor. You can't do anything to get your salvation. Therefore, you can't do anything to lose it. And I'm fixing to show you that right here. I'm going to show you a person, people who did absolutely nothing in their years of serving, of being born again, didn't do one thing. What happened to him? Watch this. All right. But watch those who also did obey God. All right. First Corinthians 3:13. I might grab your scripture, 1 Corinthians 3:13. Each man's work will be revealed, for the day will declare it, because it is revealed in the fire. And the fire itself will test what sort of work each man's work is. So do we do works? Yes, not to earn our salvation. You can never do a work to earn your salvation. You can never not do a work and lose your salvation. I'm fixing to show you that. This is really plain right here. All right? You don't get saved by works. You don't lose your salvation by works. We got to get this thing straight, y'all. The fear of the devil's moved into the body of Christ instead of fear of God. All right. So let's look at this. Each man's, for the fire itself will test what sort of work each man's work is. Verse 14, if any man's work remains, which he built on it, if any man's work, anything, any work is doing something, is working at something. It's just dependent on who you're working for. Are you doing good things, you know, in the name of God? And you think God's going to reward you for that just because you're doing a good thing in his name? Kind of work. Who are you working for? Are you working for yourself, doing a good thing, or what? I mean, a lot of people do. If any man's work remains, which he built on it, if any man's work remains, stays, abides, which he built on it, he will receive a reward. We're talking about Moses. He will receive a reward. If any man's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, but as through fire. Any man's work is burned, in other words, destroyed, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved. Now, let's read more of that scripture just so we can go all the way on this thing. Let's go right here. We need to see. I really want to get this clear in our heads tonight so we can wash away a lot of the things that are not of the wood, hands, stubble. They're not of God at all. The door for fear in your life that opens the door for every time you mess up something, you think you're going to have to get saved again. Listen, I know a lot of people, friend, not a few, a lot that deal with this. All right. Let's just open it up with okay, I'm going to go here with this. All right, yeah, let's look at this. For verse 1, 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1, same chapter. Same. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal. He's talking to Christians who were born again. As to babes in Christ, which proves they were born again. I fed you with milk and not with solid food. For until now, you were not able to receive it. And even now, you're still not able to receive it. So in other words, they hadn't grown, right? Paul says, you know, I've been feeding you, and you're still not ready. But it wasn't like it's just the teacher's fault, because Paul's a good teacher. He was a father. Yeah, we're doing good here. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. Solid food, that is. And even now you're not able to receive solid food, for you're still carnal. So we got carnal Christians or unwise Christians who are not going to enter into their victory, friend. When the victory comes, it's not about going to hell. It's that they're going to, every time it comes, they come close to their victory of getting their blessing, of getting what belongs to them from God, from their inheritance from God, because they're carnal, they're going to miss it. They're going to absolutely miss it. And I have a job to wash my hands of the blood of God's people. Tell you this stuff. It's really simple, basic things. For where there is envy and strife and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For when one says, I am of Paul, another says, I'm Apollos, are you not carnal? Yeah. All right, let's go down here. All right, let's look at this whole thing here. Verse 9 says, for we are God's fellow workers, talking about Paul and Apollos and all them. You are God's field. You are God's building. Right? You are God's building. In other words, building. Apostles and prophets and pastors, they're building. All right, according to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. So, according to the grace of God, which was given to Paul, he was a wise master builder. He says, I have laid the foundation. And another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay, than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. We're talking about foundations laid by the apostle that are in Christ Jesus. So these people are in Christ. Or if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, when we start going through the fire, you know, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Why? Because you didn't lay up treasures on, you weren't doing things in obedience to God. You were just doing good things. You were just trying to do whatever you felt like you wanted to do and you thought was important. Instead of listening to the voice of the Lord thy God, he who obeys the voice of the Lord your God, all these blessings will come on him. He who does not obey the voice of the Lord thy God, all these curses will come on them. He's talking about his people. And that's what it's talking about here. It doesn't mean that they lose their salvation. If anyone's work which he has built on endures, it will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned or destroyed, he will suffer loss. But he himself, the person who lost everything he did all his life, just as just a bunch of good works about a bunch of things he did on his own or her own, and God goes, you didn't listen to my voice, will suffer loss. But he himself will be saved, yet as through fire. All right. So there you go. It's kind of what I wanted to get into tonight is talking about rewards. Can you lose your reward? Yeah. If you think your reward, if you think what you're doing is of God and it's not God, you're going to lose it. You will lose that reward. Or if you think you're going to get this great reward or great breakthrough or great blessing, you're going to be like the foolish virgins who are going to show up just when the bridegroom takes off and goes, oh, sorry, you missed it. That's what that is. That's loss. And these were virgins, that they were foolish virgins. Friend, I've been a foolish virgin. I think I probably still can do foolish things at times. But I'm asking God to lead me and guide me, by his voice. Because when you walk in his voice, you never suffer loss. Never. You will never suffer loss. Anything you do that is not the voice of God, you're just doing it on your own because you're getting impatient. You're trying to do things on your own, and you're just trying to build your ministry and do your thing, build your business, and do whatever you're trying to do on your own. You know, I mean, I hate to pop your bubble, but your reward's never going to come, not from God. And if it comes from the flesh, it's going to be destroyed. It's going to be burned up, mine, yours, everybody's. Amen? So I'm talking to all of us. A lot of preachers who are doing things, building the ministries on merchandising and doing things that are not of God, they're going to find themselves in a place to where, God's going to go, well, I didn't destroy your stuff. It just got destroyed because it wasn't me. No, God, why did you let this happen to me? Blaming God. I mean, I've blamed God a few times. Man, have you ever blamed God before? I have. Of course I have. Things got destroyed. Things got messed up. I was going to get. Never came. Well, you do understand. If you're listening, you've been listening a long time, there's no condemnation in this message. I'm preaching to me. I'm preaching to all of us. Because this isn't just about, the sheep. This is about everybody receiving rewards from the Father. So the year of treasures, I believe we're going to listen to the voice of God. Like even in the Old Testament, it says, I love how it says in the Old Testament, hearken, if you hearken, not if you're a Christian, not if you're a believer, but if you hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, all these blessings will come on you. But if you don't, all these curses will come on you. Now, if all we talk about is the curses of God, then there's something wrong with that. Back in the day, we had people on our show talk about how their parents talked about the curses of God all the time, the judgment of God. And what we got to do is talk about all of it. We can't leave out any of it. Because what we leave out, we'll be held responsible for. So we have a balanced scale. If you obey the voice of the Lord your God, all these blessings, and there are many blessings. But if you don't, on the other side of the scale, what's in that? If you disobey the voice of the Lord your God, don't obey it, all these curses will come on you. And list them out specifically. These are specific curses. And it's all about not getting blessed. It's all about not getting your breakthrough. It's all about everything in your life being burned constantly. And you can't figure out, why is everything in my life being burned? You know to do something and you're not doing it? You open up a door. So do I. All right. Let's take callers tonight, see what's going on. Really good to be with you. I hope you understand what we're trying to say tonight. We're trying to teach you how to walk in the rewards of heaven, not how to, you know, get cursed, right? We're not talking about that. We're just talking about all of it. We talk about a balanced gospel, balancing the scales. So it's extremely important that you learn those things, and I'm learning them myself, and so we can put the fear of God, the reverential fear and awe of God, back into the body of Christ. Why? So people will just more likely obey God than disobey God. If you got the reverential fear and awe of God in you, they're going to want to please God and do something to go out of your way to do it, like Moses did. He went out of his way. He had it made, man. He was living in Egypt with, he was the Pharaoh's daughter, and he was amazing, and he was important. And he just said, I'm just going to choose, you know, there's something in me just can't go that way. I got to choose God. And he paid a heavy price for it. Sometimes you have to pay a price in agreement with God's will. But that's what connects you to the price that's been paid, is when you're willing to pay the price. Right? It's not about your salvation. It's about your rewards and your treasures. Okay, let's take our callers tonight. Hopefully you're doing good tonight. If not, we're going to be praying for you, believing God to help you get through some things. So let's do this and see what's going on. All right. Let's go with 720-819 tonight. Who am I talking to? I know this is Jeff and Yuki, I believe.
That is correct, Jeff and Yuki.
Jack. Hey. What?
Almost called Miss. Can you hear us?
I can now.
Okay, good. So we all don't want to miss the calling of God, it sounds like. That's a great word.
You don't want to miss what?
We don't want to miss the word from God when he's telling you to move forward and go to the next level, mm-hmm. have your breakthrough. You know, if you're not getting breakthrough after breakthrough, then you're missing the next mission from God, is what you're saying?
Yeah. Just learning to obey God in every little thing, every big thing, that when we obey God in all the little things, it's just kind of like when we surround ourselves with obeying God in everything. And if we start finding out we're doing something that's not of God, we need to just stop doing it as quickly as we can, because the rewards that come with deliberately and willfully disobeying God, when we know we're not supposed to be stealing, we're stealing, or cheating, and we're not supposed to be cheating, we're cheating, whatever the thing is, then you know, we need to quit doing that as soon as possible, because that has rewards with it, right? Yeah, so we learn to, you know, just do this. It's not really complicated. It's just learning to obey God in everything. Like you guys, I know you guys are moving forward in a big thing. And so it's, you know, you pay the price for that. You move, you know, you learn and you grow. And the things that are that you've grown and learned from God, they'll help build your future. You know, the things that you saw that you made mistakes in, which I do all the time. I'm always seeing mistakes that I make. So, man, God, I wish I had done that. He said, yeah, me too. Okay, you know, but there's no condemnation with God. He agrees with us. Yeah, I wish you wouldn't have done it, because I didn't tell you to do that. But I did tell you to do this, this, and this, and this, and this. Just because we messed up on one thing doesn't mean the whole thing messed up. And so we glean from what we've, you know, we learn from what we've did right and wrong. And God rewards us for the good in it, and those blessings will remain. And the things that we didn't obey him in, you know, it's just going to get burned up. And then, but the thing is, that's so cool, is that we always have a chance to, you know, start listening to the voice of the Lord, you know, and obeying it. Yeah.
So it's stepping out in faith, even on the little things. People think, oh, this isn't a big deal. You know, I can do this and that. But if you're not obeying God in the little and the big things, that's hitting you. That's huge.
Yeah, like being nice to Yuki. Or you could say, Yuki, nice to you. That's always nice. You know, just stuff like that. Just doing things. We learn how to treat our loved ones and our family and our helpers, our business people, our business friends, and then do the big thing of step out in faith and create this new thing that the earth hasn't seen before. Yeah, all that. And it's all important. Absolutely.
Well, we wanted to ask for prayer. We're kind of talking about that. So the thing that you talked about before that we're working on, the nutrition and supplements and things like that that we're working on together. And then I feel like something is happening with my work where there's a lot of resistance and people trying to throw me under the bus, and I don't know, I don't want to say warfare, but maybe change coming or something new happening, and just want to pray for that.
That's one of the things that we find out that when you're doing the will of God, you're gonna have people fighting you. I mean, look at all the people that fought me over the few that I talk about. I've had some even people here on PGN who just, especially when the Trump thing came, that was such a passionate time. I mean, I had some people really, not our regular people, but people who've been with me off and on over the years, really who listen to the show, you know, but don't really call him much. I mean, they really turned big time, like told me I was in deep error, you know. And now they're back and they're friends. They're communicating with me again, saying, you know, like they just kind of, I just kind of act like they never said it and went on and started befriending them again. But yeah, we're going to have warfare. We're going to have people who are going to fight us. And it teaches us how to stand for, you know, that's the fire. That's the fire. The fire, Jeff, is going to test us. And sometimes the fire reveals things that I'm not doing right, that I'm not believing right, that my doctrines may not be correct. And the fire starts revealing it because the Holy Spirit starts bringing me through things, showing me, Randy, that's not right. What you're teaching there is bringing fear. I went, what do you mean? He said, well, you shouldn't be, you know, I want you to think about this. So he starts giving me a revelational thing. And he changes me. He doesn't sit there and just get mad at me. He said, here, I want you to know the truth about some things. And so he starts giving it to me. And, you know, I make mistakes. I fail. But you know what? His voice is always there to correct me and to change me. And if I listen to it, I enter into the new things. And, you know, so it's learning to listen to the voice of God in everything, little things, big things. Yeah. And then the rewards come from that.
Well, we're glad some of your friends are coming back after your prophecy on the election. Good. They're acknowledging what happened and reaching back out to you. That's repentance.
Yeah, he never said he was sorry. But he just came back in and just started, you know, like, hey, Randy, I found a TV station over here in Dallas. You might want to check it out, you know. And I just started saying, okay, I'll do it. You know, I never said anything about it. I never said, hey, man, whatever happened to Donald Trump, you know. And because I like Donald Trump myself, you know, but, you know, he was very mad. I mean, very upset. He's kind of an aggressive person anyway. You know, I'll tell you what he's thinking. So, and I don't mind that. I don't mind people being aggressive, telling me what they're thinking. And when he told me, I'm going, man, you know, I'm sorry. I just got to tell people what God gives me. And, so yeah, I mean, you know, when we do the will of God, Jeff, we're going to have trouble. We're going to stir up the devil. And sometimes the fire will reveal what we're doing wrong, and sometimes the fire will reveal destroy what the enemies having people do. That's what's good about the fire. When you go through the fire reveals everything. It will open it up and show who's doing what why they're doing it, and give them a chance to repent or get it right or turn around and stop doing it, or, you know, something's going to change.
Sometimes you don't know that it's not warfare, right? People, it's warfare and everything's warfare. And they're not looking at what they're, the big and little things.
Right. In other words, calling it warfare when they're disobeying God and they're losing out. The warfare, one of the warfares involved in that is that the devil's getting them to just do whatever they want. You know, they're just doing whatever they want to do. And they're doing what they think is right. They're prophesying what they think is right instead of what God is saying. And what God, you know, and, or if you're doing business, what God is showing you to do in your business. Yeah, so it's a whole thing of, you know, learning to, you know, when God, when you mess up something, you change. And the warfare is the devil didn't want you to change. So he tries to stop you from, he'll give you every reason to not repent of that thing. He'll give you every reason. So that might be warfare in that sense. But calling it warfare that you're doing stupid stuff and you're reaping what you're sowing, that's not warfare. That's what you're saying, right?
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm saying. Because I think in the past, we've kind of thought that, and then you just keep making the same mistakes over and over again, and then, why am I not getting a breakthrough? And it's people you're surrounding yourself with and trying to do things with ungodly people and trying to make things happen and think it's going to be blessed. And, you know, it's hard for God to bless you even in business when you've got business partners that you're partnering with that aren't doing the will of God, and then you want this business entity to move on, and you're thinking your little portion is going to get blessed, and how are these other people getting blessed with you, all as partners? And that feels like, you know, you're talking about things that happened last year and this year that people are kind of coming out of Egypt. Seems like a lot of people I'm talking to, they're getting led to, you know, if you're going to be blessed, God wants you to set up your thing in his way and his rules. And it might not sound like the best setup or to the worldly people, but that's the vehicle for just you getting blessed and not having a soul tie with all these people that don't have God's plans in mind. Because, you know, how are you going to tithe? You know, they're not going to give up their profits and tithe or all these things you need to be doing.
Yeah. Yeah, as long as the leader's doing his part, that helps. But it does hinder, you know, the thing about, I remember I gave a word to Donald, you know, from Florida, Donald and Tanya from Florida. You may have heard it. I don't know if you heard it or not. It was, he called me up on, I think, January the 12th or 14th, something like that. And he said, "Hey, Randy, test one." I said, "Okay." He said, "On January the 4th, you gave me a word that, you know, that I was not going to be successful under somebody else's salary and that God was giving me my own salary, giving my own sources." And he says, when I heard that, he kind of went like, okay, you know, and he had his job for, I think, like 3 years, you know. They liked him. I mean, he was secure. Everything was fine there. And then 2 weeks later, after I gave him that word, he was no longer under somebody's salary. So him and Tanya were out, you know, looking to do their own business. And you know, he was just very elated that, you know, God kind of warned him. I didn't tell him. The Lord didn't say through me that you're going to get laid off. But the Lord did say, you know, on January the 4th, according to what he told me, and I remember that you're no longer going to be under other men's salaries, because that's not what's going to provide for you. It's going to be, God's going to give you your own resources. And so, like I said, 2 weeks later, out of the blue, I mean, just out of the blue, they called him in and they said, "Donald, we have to let you go. And if there's anything comes up, we want you back. So we'll call you back." And so he kind of went, okay. So that was kind of a cool word starting off January, especially calling 2022, you know, the year of treasures, and for them to, for that to happen to them like that at the beginning of the year was a great sign that 2022 is a year of treasures, you know, and that they are, you know, I mean, it, I mean, I didn't call his boss and say, hey, can you fire him so he can, so we can fulfill the word of the Lord. I don't even know who he worked for, but it just happened because God was saying, hey, man, it's the year of treasures. Get ready. Obey God. It's really awesome.
So it's especially important this year, is what you're saying.
I think that God's very much
cleaning his house up.
Yeah, he started cleaning the house up with the Marcus Lamb thing. Was kind of a clean the house up thing. Marcus was a good guy and loved God and loved to preach the word of God, but he was a merchandiser, and as we warned for several years and warned even about him the last couple of weeks before he died, about him specifically, you know, being taken out, being removed, didn't have a clue it was going to be to death. That happened when right at the end, I think that happened when November, I don't know when he died, I can't remember, but it was, so that kind of happened, and to me, knowing that what God had been showing me, and then what happened was totally just shock, because he was getting out of the hospital that day, because he was doing great. I mean, he was doing really good, and then all of a sudden, his heart just stopped on him, just boom, and they could not resurrect him, no matter what they did. And so, you know, bless his heart, you know, I think he met Jesus at the pearly gates, and the Lord said, great job, except for I wish you'd listen to Chan a little bit more. But he did listen to me. He did. Marcus was used by God to help me, and he made a video. He brought his crew out to a place and made a video of me doing some things that I had a testimony of. And so he shared it with him. Everywhere he preached, he took it with him and showed him, you know. And so, you know, I love Marcus, but, you know, as a prophet, I have to say what God's saying. So that was kind of a big opening up for the coming year. And then January the 4th, when I gave that word to Donald, one of our faithful, loyal people who, you know, him and his wife love PGN. And I'm sure they don't love any of the ministries. They can't. They have to only love PGN, I'm sure. Not really. But, you know, so on January 4th, when that happened, I mean, it was a resource thing. It was, you're not going to prosper. You're not going to be blessed under somebody else's payroll. I can't remember the exact word that I said. But you're going to have your own resources. You're going to have your own source of money. And God's going to bless you with that. And he just like, well, man, I like that. And so even when the night that he called in and told me about this, this is so cool what happened. He called in and he's telling me about this, right? Yeah, Randy, you said this, and the Lord said that, and you're gonna be in the resources. And I said, while he was telling me that, I said, Donald, hang on a second. I said, you know what? I said, the Lord also showed me, but I never said it in the Word. I can't prove it. But I told him that I knew you were not going to do this on your own. In other words, quit your job and start a new resource. And he just like, what did you say? You can hear him say, what was that? Did you just say I wouldn't do it on my own? And I thought I wasn't sure what he was thinking about that. I thought, well, hope that wasn't too bad, you know. He said, Randy, he said, I just got through telling Tanya I would have never quit on my own. He said, that's amazing. I went, dude, God is talking to you, bro. January the 4th, the first three after the fourth day of 2022, the year of treasures. And then you get that word, and then 2 weeks later, out of the nowhere, comes this boom. Yeah, you no longer under their salary anymore. That like, they were just shocked. It was really cool. And when I told him that he would have never done it on his own, I explained to him. I said, that's not a bad thing that you would have never done it on your own. I'm not saying that you were carnal or that you were, you know, you're a responsible human being. You would take care of your family, you know. And so you would have never quit on your own. You might have looked for businesses while you were working, but you would have never quit on your own to, quote, step out in faith, because God wasn't telling you to do that. So it was pretty amazing, man.
And that was all confirmed live on PGN?
Everything was done live on PGN, yeah. The only thing that I didn't say to him was when he called, you know, when he called me on the show on the, I can't remember what day it was. This was all done live. Yeah. Everything. Just, you can ask Donald, you can text him or whatever. Yeah, this is all done live on PGN. Everything was done live. It was all done on the show. And so he, when he, the day he was given testimony, 2 weeks later after the 4th, whatever that is, I think it's the 12th or 13th. I can't remember what day he called in, but I think it was like a Monday or Tuesday. And when he, when I'm telling him this, I said, Donald, hang on a second. I said, but I never said this in the Word. This is the only thing I didn't say in the Word, but I made it public right then. I said, God showed me that you would have never quit that job on your own. And he kind of stumbled around like, well, what did you just say? I thought, oh, no. I said something, you know, it's controversial. I didn't know what he was saying. He said, Randy, I just told Tanya that I would never have quit on my own. That's the only thing that wasn't said in that Word. But he was shocked because he had just told Tanya those very words. Just, I think, right before the show came on that day. Yeah, it all was done live.
I know that really what you did with PGN, you know, coming out under different people's ministries and then kind of stepping out into your own ministry with God and everything, I'm sure that was a nerve-wracking kind of thing.
Yeah.
To make that transition.
Well, anytime you... Go ahead.
Oh, I just can imagine, you know, it's kind of like starting a one-man church. You know, you had to really step out in faith for that one.
Yeah, the thing is that the thing that was so different about it is I wasn't having to rent a building, and I wasn't having to, you know, have people just show up in Dallas or Garland. And but the internet was a new thing. That was back in 2009, 2010, and that was a new thing. That was you know my friend turned me on to it. He said you need to be doing this Blog Talk Radio thing because you can talk to people personally. You can prophesy to people personally all day long. Because he knew I loved doing that. He knew it was my favorite thing because we were really good friends. He was one of the worship leaders for Benny Hinn Ministries, and I took him to Benny Hinn Ministries all the time because he was, you know, anyway. So we were good friends. And. And he said, man, Randy, you've got to do this. And so he turned me on to it. I finally yielded after my pride and everything got choked away. And so, yeah, we started out doing shows in the morning, in the afternoon, I don't remember exactly. And just kind of, it just kind of little by little took off. And, you know, people calling in, prophesying to people. And then pretty soon we had, you know, a crew of people. And so, yeah, it was difficult. The big thing was is when the Lord told me not to sell anything because I was getting ready to sell stuff. I was getting my marketing in, you know, I mean, that's just what you do in the business, in the ministry these days. That's part of it. And I was raised like that from all my preacher friends and all of them doing it today. I was getting my marketing strategy ready. I had one of my friends from another well-known prophet, friend of mine, showing me, you know, how to put, you know, like when they have their book that they're going to sell, how they put, they have certain apps, not certain apps, but certain, you know, things that they use for that the picture shows up a certain way and it looks really cool and nice. I was buying me some of those. I was getting ready to merchandise, dude. I was getting ready to sell. I was, that's what I was doing. I was getting ready for it and getting all these different things that I can merchandise and sell and, you know, and just raise money for God by selling stuff. And when the Lord spoke to me, and I was getting, yeah, he had to say, I'm actually getting this all together, just like I was raised to do, just like everybody teaches you to do. I mean, every ministry you go to has one of those parts of their merchant. They have what they call a merchant. Even when you buy their website, you know, they have a merchant's site, merchant site. And so you open up your merchants, and it connects you to all, how to sell and, you know, PayPal and whatever else, and people can pay for things and buy things, and you have your own system if you want and whatever. And I was doing all that, man. And the Lord just stopped me dead in my tracks, Jeff, stopped me dead in my tracks and said, you know, Randy, if you'll not sell me, if you'll not sell and merchandise the gospel of Christ, I will bless you above what I've blessed any man. Now, that sounds crazy to me. I don't even understand what he meant when he said that. How can he do that? But somehow or another, some way, you know, and this could happen, you know. But so we stuck to that. And that was the difficult part, was because I knew once I did that, my friends, when my ministry started taking off, they're going like, oh, yeah, they're going to be joining in saying, hey, Randy, we're going to come, And, you know, like my prophet friends who pretty well know people, if I'd asked them to come on my show, they would have gladly come on the show. You know, if I asked some other people, you know, other ministers and other, you know, people, like we have local people here. I can't think of the lady's name. That has a local ministry here in Garland. She's on Sid Roth. I can't think of her name. Love, what's her name? Sister Love? Sister, you guys have mentioned her name before. Some of you guys have mentioned her name before. I can't think of her name right now, but she's a local person, and she's a friend of mine, and she's on Sid Roth and sells her books and, you know, all that stuff. She told me she was going to come on my show. Oh, yeah, I'm going to be on your show. Yeah, I'm going to be on your show. I'm getting ready to go on Sid's show, and we're getting my book stuff ready, and because Sid helps them get their book stuff ready so they can sell their books. And you know what? You know why she never showed up? After she told me she was going to show up several times. I'm not saying she was lying, but she was being influenced by some, you know, she said, she never told me why she wasn't showing up. She just never showed up. She never called me back. She wouldn't answer my phone calls anymore. Because I don't let people merchandise. And so that's the whole system. All the people that I've been around for years, that's what they do to make their money. That's how they do it. And now all those people, the big risk I took was that I was going to lose all my friends, so they couldn't come on and, you know, confirm, yeah, we know Randy was, you know, some of these prophet friends that are known around the world that are on PTL and on, you know, Sid Roth and all a lot of other places. You know, they would have gladly come on and said, yeah, we know Randy, and he's a faithful, loyal man. He did this and he did that. And he, was faithful to help plant seed in our ministry and helped us and blah, blah, blah. And we support him, and we're on his side. And he has a gift to the market, because these one particular people, they knew about the market gift. They watched it happen time and time and time and time again. And they would have gladly come on my show and said, yeah, Randy's a – but you know what, dude? Because I did the merchandising thing, it shut me down with all my friends. That was what was a slap to my face, if you will, of temptation and what I considered a little bit of persecution, not much, but a little bit.
You weren't real popular in the scene there for that decision. I could see that.
Yeah.
They kind of part from that way they do things, it doesn't make them look good.
Yeah, because I'm talking bad about not the people, but I'm talking about the system. You know, Jesus drove out the money changers. He didn't whip the money changers, but he did knock over the tables and the money. He made a big show out of it, and I wasn't afraid to make a show out of it if I had to. And they know me. They know me very well, Jeff, and they know that when Randy decides he's going to make a show of something, you know, if God's telling him to do something, we know he's going to do it no matter what anybody tells him. And because many times I'd given them words about things, they said, I don't think that's really God. We got a word over here about this, and this is going to come to pass. And when their words weren't coming to pass and mine were, you know, the ones that God was giving me, it started showing me, Randy, be faithful to me. Trust me. Just do things unto me, and I'll take care of you. So it kind of like got me off in a Paul. I would say that I was alone, because I still have a lot of people who love me, and you know, lots of people who love us and love PGN. But as far as my friends who, you know, could come on the show, and like when I had the studios to come in and give their testimonies and stuff, I wish I could think of that one lady's name here locally. I can't think of her name right now, but. She just wasn't going to come. She said she was coming several times. When I was at my last studio, yeah, I'm going to come. Yeah, I'm on my way to Sid's, and Sid and I are doing this stuff and blah, blah, blah. But the whole merchandising thing, that shut down a lot of my friendship realm. Diane, somebody help me out. You know what I'm talking about. Please help me. Diane. I'll get her name here in a second. A great lady, but a merchandiser big time. Just like I would have been. Diane McNutt. Diane Nutt. Y'all ever heard of Diane Nutt?
I think I've seen her on Sid, maybe.
Yeah, she's been on Sid. She's right here local. She's not too far from me. Yeah, Diane Nutt. Her and my best, the one who worked with Benny in Ministries, that was a worship leader for Benny in Ministries, they were really close friends. And that's how I got to know her, was that he told her about me and about the market, about Biden, because that was back when I first got, God had shouted Joseph Biden's name to me at that time. And my friend was still alive. And him and McNutt were friends. And he would go do worship for her. And he was a great worshiper. Worship leader, an anointed man. Oh my gosh. Anyway, so what was I saying? Where was I going with that? So we all got to know each other because Brian would call her and tell her, yeah, Randy said Joseph Biden was going to be Obama's vice president. And then it looked like it wasn't going to happen because Biden said he wasn't chosen. So I just kind of thought, I called Brian up one night. I said, man, you know, he knew everything about what I was doing. He knew I had it on my website. Biden's going to be Obama's vice president. You know, the Lord shouted his name to me and blah, blah, blah. And then he comes out on the news on CNN and says, when the interviewers, you know, the camera guy sitting out in front of his house, said he'd drive it out. And he says, no, I'm not the one. And I called up Brian. I said, dude. Man, I missed it, man. I had that on my website. I missed it. Oh, my God. He said, oh, Randy, you know, you're living and you're learning. You're going to learn. You're going to grow. And then about 2 days later, 3 days later, Joseph Biden has become Obama's vice president. And we just laughed about it. We laughed and giggled about that. That was so funny that I had flipped out. I still have the video where Biden was coming out of his own house. When at that time saying he was not going to be the VP, he was not the one chosen. Like he knew God, he knew Obama chose somebody else. That's what he made it look like. And he later was. So, but anyway, Diane Nutt, I think's her name. Nice lady, sweet lady. All these people are good people. Merchandiser's victim. That's how we all knew each other. And Brian would tell her that stuff about my market stuff, had a lot of market stuff. I was known for the market around more than anything. That was the biggest thing I was known for was 2008 crash, gave the exact week that was going to happen. I said it's going to happen in the third quarter and happened on the day of the third quarter. And I was the only one to get it work. I was the only one that God spoke to about that. Other people, you know. And so it just kept going on and on and on and on. God started speaking to me about all these market things. So Diane Nutt knew about all that stuff. And so, you know, Sid knows because, you know, I mean, they all know, they all talk, believe me, they all talk. And they're talking about my no merchandising thing big time. And so it's not a hidden thing.
So what year did you said you had all your merchandising stuff ready and then you dropped it and you went this past, what year was that?
I'm trying to think. I really don't know what year it was. I could probably go back and look at some of the stuff I was doing. I really don't have a date on that. It was about the time that I started. I think I was still thinking about selling when I was in the studio at the house. So whatever year was that was, I can't go back and look right now because I haven't been feeling that great. But
20.
Huh?
2014. That's what you said. She was just guessing.
Weird. Yeah, I think we started PGN in 2010. Maybe before. I don't really don't know, man. You know, right now I can tell you the dates on all that. But somewhere I started doing the show. We didn't have PGN yet. I was in made a studio out of the back bedroom. And, you know, Judy was like, you know, like, my God, what are you doing to this room? I mean, I tore that room up, bro. I tore that sucker up. It didn't look like a bedroom anymore. It looked like a studio. And I know that I was preparing to sell then. Yeah, but I don't, because I know that I was talking to one of my music, well, I have a music friend, a musician. He's well known in the industry, in the world industry. He's done these little commercial, you know, what do you call those things? That were little commercial, where they have an intro to the music and they have the music that plays all the way through it. Whatever you call that. He was Mac Price. The guy's name is Mac Price. And Mac Price was made a lot of money and a very well-known person. We all went to the same church. We were good friends. We were all good buddies. I used to go to his house and his studio, he had a powerful studio. And he made music all the time for these well-known commercials, and very, very well-known commercials, and a bunch of them. And they paid him good for his work. And so I was talking to him about doing some, you know, he was going to make a little song for me for PGN. In fact, he did make a little song for me. And he said, Randy, I'm going to send this to you. And it just didn't sound right to me. I probably should have trusted him. But it was something about, I can't remember now, but anyway, so Mac Price was getting ready to, you know, he had some songs. He had some beautiful worship songs that he had written. And I was trying to get him to come on and let's sell those things and make some money, you know, make some money off of it for him and maybe give some to PGN or give some to, you know, Randy Sharon Ministries at the time. And so that was going on at the time. And that's when the Lord started speaking to me. He said, I don't want you to do that. Do not do that. If you will give me away, I will bless you.
See, that's what you compared it to. It's like, that was the thing that hit me the most. It's like selling the body of Christ. The word, the body, you know, it's his sacrifice, just negating that for small amounts of dollars.
Yeah, and that's the latest thing that God has given me to make it clear what people are doing. That's probably one of the latest things that I'm aware of that God spoke to me specifically. He said, "I want you to start bringing it out that they're selling my body." And I went, "Whoa, what do you mean selling your body?" He started explaining it to me. He said, "Randy," he said the word was spirit first. He said the word was God. At first, in chapter St. John, it says, and the word was God, and the word was with God. Who was that? That was going to be the Messiah, right? Going to be the Christ. The word was with God. So he was spirit, but he was the word. And it says the word became embodied. I went, oh, my gosh. The word became embodied. So if people are preaching and teaching, they're fivefold ministry people, and they're getting words from God. They're getting teaching from God. What is that? That's the body of Jesus. That's the Word made flesh. That's, you know, Jesus said, you know, that's really what he said. When you eat my body, drink my blood. It's not just about communion. It's about you're eating the Word of God. When you eat my body, you know, it's not just about, like I said, a communion thing. It is about when you eat his body, when you eat the Word of God, when you partake of the engrafted Word of God, the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that is the body of Christ being imparted to you, the body of Jesus, you know, because the word became flesh. The word became embodied by Christ, and that's where he shed his blood. He gave his body on the cross. They whipped and beat him. They whipped and beat his body. He was his broken body, his broken bread became broken bread for you and I to partake of salvation, to partake of the teachings of Christ, the revelation of Jesus. Jesus said the Holy Spirit's going to come. He's going to lead you and guide you into all truth. He's going to tell you of me. He's going to tell you. He said the Holy Spirit's going to tell you of me. And when he tells you of me, that's Jesus he's talking about. And so you take that and you sell that, I don't know, man. When I first seen it like that, that even took it to a deeper level to me. Kind of scary. And that's why I think we're seeing the thing with Marcus. I mean, you know, it's just so difficult to – every time I say it, I cringe because I know people think like, that is so cruel to keep talking about that. But I have to bring forth things. I'm a prophet. I'm not a sweet little nice teacher over here trying to grow my ministry. I'm a prophet. I talk like a prophet. I smell like a prophet probably. Prophesy like a prophet. That's what I am. You know, and I'm not here to play little tiddlywink games with people. I have to tell the truth in love. And so that's what's going on with that. And that was a major blow to beginning this year of 2022 being the time where we're going to see treasures. What do we treasure the most? We treasure Jesus and his body. What are you treasuring, leaders of the body of Christ? What do you treasure? Can't you trust God that if you're giving the word of God out and it's all powerful, are your words that you're getting from God not powerful? Are they not amazing? Are they not from God? Well, if they were from God, they're going to change people's lives. And when people's lives are changed, Jeff, they will give their money. That's not even a problem. But they're not going to give you the word of God until you pay for it first. That is an abomination to God. People can say whatever they want, but all that is crashing down, and it started before November when he died. But that was a great sign to me as a prophet that God's getting ready to deal with this stuff. So it's just beginning. It's going to take some time. It's going to take some more plagues. It's going to take some more situations. I don't know what there are. I'm saying everybody's going to die. I'm not saying everybody's going to, you know, I'm not saying any of that. I have nothing to do with any of it. But God's going to make it plain and clear that what God's been speaking to me about is from him.
Do you think at some point there'll be a coalition of churches and they'll all agree that this is how they practice their ministry and a non-merchandising pledge for the church?
When we're able to teach them, the Holy Spirit teaches them, we teach them however they get taught, and they start seeing the basic principles of how this all got messed up, the basic principles of how this works and how that it all got messed up and how we got sidetracked, including Randy Chandler. I was just like the rest of them, man. You know, I've said that from the very beginning. I was like, in a way, like Moses, I was part of the system, I came out of the system, and then God sends me back to the system to say, come out of that system. And so, yeah, it's. I think that there's going to be people, leaders, that like the new leaders, that the 20-year-olds that came out of the land of out of the wilderness and entered in with Joshua and Caleb. You know, there's a whole new group of people. They were raised up. They saw their mom and daddy act like crazy. They saw their mom and daddy whine and complain about God. They saw all that. They were raised in the tents with them. It's not like their parents did it privately where nobody can hear. No, they heard them whining, complaining, never trusting God. They heard that all the time. How that didn't affect them, I don't know. But I see the same thing going on now. I have a lot of young people, a lot of young preachers who are trained up, just like I was, of how to start, you know, getting that money coming in to paying for your ministries by selling the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so how God's going to, the people you're talking about, how that's going to get raised up is going to be something like that. Somehow or another, they're going to have been around it, but somehow they're going to have a revelation that it's not God and that their parents were wonderful people. They were Jews. They were God-fearing people in many ways, but they were in all the wrong ways. They were messed up. And so God is going to, somehow take those new people, those quote 20-year-olds, somehow suppress in them that all that merchandising stuff they've learned all these years.
Well, when you put it like that, it's a new generation carrying the torch. And it seems like there's different fads and churches and things that happen like that. This is the new thing.
It is a new thing. And the reason that we had to openly make a challenge against the prophets with the Trump and Biden thing, you know, we were building an altar. They were building an altar. They had all their people. We had one person who was saying, you know, Trump's not going to be it. Biden's going to be the man. And, you know, even though I voted for Trump, like Trump, that, you know, and so on the altar, when God fell on the, when they kept cutting themselves saying, oh, Trump's going to make it. We know he's going to make it. We command him to make it. We know he's going to make it. He's the man. He's not going down. He's going up. Biden's going down. Man. And they were cutting themselves. I mean, it was in my eyes, that's how I saw it, was like that. They were just a bunch of, and I'm not calling them false prophets or Baals. I'm just saying they were misled prophets, very bad misled prophets, and had a whole different, whole wrong image of what was going on. And so when God didn't fall down on their altar with fire, and he did on our altar that we had, that was the first kind of a big thing that went across the globe a little bit. You know, hey, there's this guy saying, you know, and so it got some attention from some leaders. They're going like, who is this guy? What's going on? Is he crazy? What's up? And then when we started doing the next level that was global was when we started talking about, you know, comparing, you know, our brother Marcus with, you know, even though I loved him and God used him in my life, he's a merchandiser. He's a head merchandiser, and God's going to deal with him. God's going to take him out. God's going to remove him from ministry. I that's what I thought. He could just remove him from ministry somehow or another. I didn't know how he was going to do it. Well, lo and behold, the way he removed him was, sad to say, he died. And so that one right there took it to a whole, the leadership, all the Benny Hinn's people who knew me, you know, all the McNutt, all the believe me, they listened to what I'm saying. They know what's going on. They know what I'm saying. They all connected. All these people that I know, they're all connected to everybody. They all know exactly what we're saying, Jeff. Most of them, you know, I'd say 90% of them know, of the big dogs. And so when Marcus went down, I don't know if you watched the funeral, but did you watch the funeral?
No, I did not. I didn't know they had a live.
Yeah, they had a funeral. And so I didn't know they had it either, so I'm kind of like with you. And so I heard they had a funeral, so I thought, hey, I'm going to get that video and watch it. And right at the end, they had, you know, because I had been saying for years, what you going to do when they come for you, bad boy? You know that song? I've been talking about that. Some of you may remember I've said that over the years. What you going to do when they come for you? And so when I started saying that Joni took the bait and Marcus joined with her on the vaccine thing, not that I agree or disagree with the vaccine on all what they're saying, that wasn't the point. It's like that was a bait to start taking down the merchandising. And so sure enough, you know, they gave Marcus hydroxychloroquine, and I heard Joni say it the other day, gave him hydroxychloroquine and a bunch of and some other stuff. Guess what? Didn't save him. And I like hydroxychloroquine. I think it's all good. I like all that stuff. I'm not into the vaccine. I don't take the vaccine. But they took the bait on that, and when they did take the bait on it, it doesn't make any sense. Like I say, I think that a lot of the vaccine stuff is messed up, but at the same time, the word had nothing to do with my opinion of right or wrong about it. It had to do with the fact that God spoke to me and said, Joni took the bait and Marcus joined in with her, and therefore I'm going to take them down. I'm using that to take them down. See, that makes no sense to a lot of people. Go, how can you say that when there was so much wrong with it? Listen, when God speaks, friend, it don't have to make no sense to you. That's maybe why God's not using you, because you're trying to figure out everything he sees saying. Oh, God, I can't believe that because that didn't make any sense. Right, then he's not going to use you. He will not use you. You try to intellectualize it or reason it out on your own, he's not going to use you. I used to do it. It messed me up too, so I've been there. So that phase two, that was – and I'm just calling it phase two just because it was global, right? The Trump and the Biden thing was global. That was a global thing. The fact that we had just talked about it two to three days and 2 to 3 weeks, we talked about it quite a bit. And then he was dead. Out of the blue, he was dead. Joni said he was doing great. I mean, he was getting ready to get out, and all of a sudden, boom, he died of a heart attack, just like that, out of the blue, out of nowhere. She says, I still don't know what happened. I still don't understand what went on. He just, I guess it was his time to go. He just died. Well, the only thing that qualifies the fact that a prophet was talking about that has something to do with what we're talking about merchandising is because I just talked about it right before it happened. And so that's not coincidental, but people are going to say it's coincidental. until the next one happens, and they go, and the next one happens, and it's going to just like the days of Egypt, it's going to happen, and God's going to whack that thing. He's going to whack it, and he's going to whack it good, bro. He's going to whack it good. Come out from among them. Be ye holy, separate. Leadership, God's way. Or you haven't got the fear and reverence law of God. Where's that in Scripture that you sell things? It's not with any. You can't even make. You can't even. You Twisted Sister can't even come up with some good stuff on that one. Biblically.
I just don't know.
Anyway, it's all worked up now.
Sorry. I just know we keep putting out there every show, but I don't know how everyone's going to wake up. It's like, hey, what, do you got a protest outside the church?
I know. It's because it's so a part of the system. It's just so a part of, when you look at Israel, you see that, you see the same thing. They were so used to, they had a slavery. They didn't like that, but at least they had food. You know, so what happened when they got in the wilderness and the fire started coming on them, the trials and tribulations? Well, you know, Moses, what'd you bring us out here for, to die? What'd you bring us out? Well, how dare you? You brought us out here, man, and now we're all going to die because we're going to. And so that's kind of because they had got used to living under Pharaoh as God's people, that they weren't used to living under God, and it was extremely difficult for them, just like it would be, like it's going to be for us. It's going to be difficult. I'm not saying I'm going to be any better, or I'm going to do great, I'm not going to be whining, I'm not going to be complaining sometimes. I probably will. I don't know. I've gone through some stuff. I've done a little bit of whining. I've done a little complaining, but I just got it right with God, you know, and said, God, I'm sorry, you know, show me, you know, I believe, but help my unbelief. Being honest with him, instead of playing this hyper-faith game. My God, I hope God whacks that too, man. That hyper-faith stuff, oh, yeah, man, we're going to believe God for Sister So-and-so. She's going to come alive. She's going to live. She's going to be anything, and nothing's going to happen to her. She's going to come in, and then, you know, the next day, dead. Like, you know, and they had such union and belief, you know, and it's just really the hyper-faith realm we live in. But yet we don't wake up. We don't wake up because of it. We just keep going on. The next thing happens, oh, yeah, I believe God. Trump's going to be the president, yeah, and then, no, in the name of Jesus, that's not going to happen. We don't care what Randy says. We all these other prophets say, no, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we're in all union. We're unified around the globe. We're unified. We have all of our prayer warriors and all that. Randy, what Randy says, that cannot happen because we're not going to let it happen. What happened? Well, what God said happened, that's what happened. People think they can change it, man. They think they can change it. And so it's going to take some time for them to come out of that system and start believing God for their provision from the Father instead of doing building a golden calf and having your own system how you make money for the church, for the body of Christ, for Israel.
So this helps me think about it a little differently, because what we're describing here, if it was the old guard and the way that you perceive the church today, it could take decades for people to change their ways unless there's some radical change. But, you know, you talked about the COVID and kind of judgment and things going on. But also, if there's a new Holy Spirit anointed, powerful movement that young people pick up and take on, and it's a global movement of setting these principles out of not merchandising, then that could affect change a lot quicker.
Yeah. Exactly. That's a really good point. And I think that something like that's going to happen. You know, I use the Israel, the 20-year-olds that came out of Israel, they watched their mom and dad and complain, but, you know, obviously they did pretty good. Still have some stuff messed up, because when they crossed over into the Promised Land, and Joshua told them very specifically, okay, this, all the gold, all the brass, all the silver, all the cloth, all this, it belongs, the first fruit belongs to God. Nobody's going to get any of this fruit. Nobody's going to get any of this. The first one's going to belong to God. So there's only one family, only one person really did wrong. But look what it did to the whole body of Christ. Look what it did to the whole of Israel. It brought them into the spirit of defeat. At Ai, they got defeated in a little small town, little small area. They could have whooped them easy. And God showed them. He said, hey, you know, you don't obey my voice. You know, your little bitty battles are going to turn into defeats for you because I'm not with you in it. And so there was just that, out of the 20-year-olds, there was just that one person that actually did that. So it shows that there was quite a change that nobody else, pretty good testimony to the new group.
Well, that's an interesting comparison. And I think you're right that there has to be, you know, more examples when God did things like this that people can wake up to.
Right.
So it's similar to
trying to take signs and wonders and miracles. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
It's kind of like coming out of Egypt, coming out of Babylon in a way, right? Because usury and trading and merchandising and like being a merchant, that's out of literally those cultures.
Yeah. It's just nothing wrong with selling things, but for the body of Christ, for the leadership, the sanctified, called out ones that are called and chosen to be priests of the Lord, they're sanctified and set apart from that whole system. They don't do their system like that. But yet all of Israel could do it, but they couldn't do it.
Oh, okay. So being set apart.
Yeah, they were set apart in the way that their money came in. They didn't have any inheritance. Their inheritance was the Lord. So it was a whole different thing going on.
Well, I keep praying about, you know, we can figure out a way to get completely out of the system, even with our own, when we do need to use merchandising, that we have Christians have their own currency or ways of completely getting out of the system, you know, ways of getting food and infrastructure and things like that.
Right, and that's what we need to focus on. What we need to focus on, who's our next political leader. We need to focus on, you know, with our money, our prayers, our efforts, our intercessors. We need to start praying that we start getting our own system. Whatever that system is, I don't know. Whether it's our own satellites, with our own internet, that's separate totally from the system of the world. But it's going to have to be, because when the Antichrist is ready to shut us down, he's going to be able to say, click a button and say, all you Christians, click, 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 you're out. You can't make money. You can't buy or sell anything. So if we don't have something set up, you know, of some sort, whether it's bartering or whatever it is, growing our own food, you know, and having a system, you know, whatever that system is, I don't know what the system needs to be, but if we're wasting all our time trying to get Trump to be president instead of moving forward and trying to prepare for what God told me is going to happen, no matter what they pray about, no matter how much they join together and unify, you know, they can unify all day, just like Babylon. Oh, the Babylon, God said he smote them because they could do anything. You know, so now we still get that Babylonian spirit going on. We think we can all come into agreement with each other and we can do anything. Or we just come together and agree, we can do anything. And God's going, no, I'm going to show you that that's not going to happen. That's what happened in the first round with Biden and Trump. I mean, I had people coming against me, dude, saying, you know, we are in agreement here and you are only one person. You're the only person doing it. And we got thousands and thousands and millions of Christians that are praying and believe that we're all in unity. You ain't got nothing going on. You're going down. I had people literally leave the ministry. Gary Mary left the ministry over that. They started calling me a false prophet. Shocker.
Wow.
I just revealed something. Uh-oh.
Oh. Well, that's okay.
My brother, I could reveal a whole lot of things. I just keep them real quiet for a long time. And then when I'm in the mode, I just let it go. Whatever. I people are not my source. I love people. I need people. I want people to be with me. But you know what? When you know God's speaking to you, he's going to take care of you no matter what anybody says. And how much unity they got coming against you? How much witchcraft, Christian witchcraft prayers they got praying against you?
Oh, Christian witchcraft. They don't even know it.
No, they don't realize it. Some of them came out of witchcraft in their days. They were involved in it, you know. And so it's a really hard thing to come out of. And so when you start battling, a lot of those people have trouble with their salvation because it's such a tremendous battle. And so what happens when they get under pressure and they start believing that you're not of God, then they start praying their prayers and they don't realize that they get back into their witchcraft controlling spirit because what they're trying to do is control me and control what I'm saying. And that's witchcraft. Maybe not to the full witchcraft level, but it's what I call Christian witchcraft praying.
Well, that's what they're kind of rallying people up to do, right? Force an outcome, not pray God's will, but put your faith in a man, a person, no clue if it's God's will or not, and then just force that decision as a group through prayer.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and I would have been doing the same thing they're doing. It's not like I'm Mr. Holy, I would have never do that, I would never do that kind of thing. No, I'd be doing it. I'd be standing there right in there with them. But the problem is, I'm not. God just says, I need you to speak the truth. I need you to speak what's really going on. And, yeah, Gary and Mary started calling me a false prophet because I didn't go with all the vaccine stuff. They didn't like my vaccine information. They got really ticked off about that. And so they started sending me little texts like, I'm a false prophet because, you know, anybody who doesn't believe in the vaccine, and they didn't really hear what I was saying. Most people don't really hear what I'm saying anyway, so. But yeah, that was another PGN thing, and I can reveal it now because I just feel like it. I'm just doing it because I feel like it tonight. I get in those modes. People get me in these modes, and I'm not able to bring out every name and every person and everything. You know, I try not to, but Paul the Apostle did it. He named them by name, first and last name. He said the whole thing. You know, people don't have a clue what God, serving God's really like. They just have this pure, innocent little, oh, Jesus, we would never talk bad about it, never expose anybody publicly. Well, then you need to quit reading the Bible. Paul the Apostle did it bunches of times. These people used to be with me, name their names. They're no longer with us. Watch out for them. They're heretics or something like that. I'm sorry, I'm starting to enjoy this. Maybe I should move on.
You can blame me. Blame Yuki.
Do what?
I said you can blame me or just blame Yuki.
Just blame Yuki. Well, let's just blame Yuki. She doesn't mind. Ask her if she minds.
We're not sure.
Okay. That was a very smart move on her part. See, that's why you need her, man. Yeah, she ain't gonna agree with that. She ain't gonna agree with that bunch of nonsense. You guys trying to get me in trouble tonight. Uh-uh. No way. Nah, I ain't gonna do that. Good job, Yuke. Yeah, one of these days
I'm in that mode this week right now because I've had to battle people all this last month back and forth and people trying to say say one thing and then you got to defend yourself and all that. So
yeah.
Okay. Got that warfare mentality right now.
Yeah, I know. The thing is that when the fire comes down, if we handle the fire right, the fire will come down on them, and it will destroy and burn up their stuff. And if our stuff's been doing whatever we got of God we've done, it's not going to be burned up. Whatever things we have that are not of God, and I know we all have a little bit of that here and there, where we're doing what we think is best and what we think is right, it's going to get burned up, man. Doesn't matter how beautiful it is. Oh, no, but I just feel like I just wanted to do this for the Lord. And the Lord's going to go, I didn't ask you to do that. There's no reward for that. It's going to all get burned up in the fire. And they're going to, huh? Don't worry, you're going to be saved, but not your stuff. Sorry. Okay, I guess I'll pray for you guys and move on tonight. Anything else you want to, any heavy-duty comments you want to make before I move on, before I start exposing more people tonight?
No, Randy, it's really inspiration to me, the New Wine Movement. And I have words on that, but we talk about something, you know, people are craving for a new way of reaching the Holy Spirit. And that is encouraging to me that as this word here, you know, we keep putting it out there that young people, I feel like even my generation and younger, the hypocrisy of some of the things, the way the church works and the number of things that just don't make sense. If they see something that's real and genuine and has nothing to do with making a buck, comes out,
right,
and it's in the mainstream, it's going to bring a whole new demographic that we haven't been able to reach. And
right.
I feel like millennials and people like that, they want something real, and they kind of, I mean, even we felt the same way. We can't find a church home, and that just picturing that in my mind is just mind-blowing, and especially in some of these bigger cities and maybe places that are really tough warfare. I'm thinking like L.A. and New York and stuff like that. If there's a movement that is totally opposite of anything that they comprehend about how a church operates, and then seeing that it's supernaturally supported and there's no explanation, anointing and Holy Spirit is really moving, and they have things for the community and a new way of doing things. It's just so exciting to think about, you know, all that coming together. And it feels like you're kind of bringing that word to the forefront of, here's one of the foundational principles for God's government to set up for something like that to happen, for the right people to come into place.
Yeah, we're going to set up a new government. We're going to set up the government of God. That's what Isaiah 22:22 has more about. It's about several things, but one of them is the setting up the government. So the government shall rest upon his shoulders, giving the keys to the king, the keys to the house of David. And that's the card we just sent out to everybody. If you haven't got your card yet, it's probably because you don't have an address that is new or something, or maybe maybe you renewed it to me, but I haven't renewed it to Julie or something. So let me know if you haven't got your card yet. A couple of people have told me they haven't got their cards, so I apologize for that. I'm trying to get all that done, but I did get them all sent out on the 22nd. So they did not market the 22nd because I found that they don't market on the post office doesn't market until it ends up in the place where it's been delivered. So I didn't even know that. I said, but anyway, we did get them out on the 22nd, and maybe put them in your freezer, your refrigerator, to look at and think about. And what are the treasures? What do they mean? What do they really mean? And so we're going to talk about that off and on in many different ways all this year. And the fact that we started this year with giving that one to our beloved brother Donald and Tanya, that he was not going to be under the resources and payroll of a company, but he was going to have his own resources. And then 2 weeks later, they laid him off. You know, I mean, they were. She said, Randy, I was so excited about that. It just excited me. People said, you're not responding out of fear. What's going on? He said, something was stirred up inside them, and they saw how God just, you know, I didn't say God's going to God's going to have you fired on your job, and you're going to, you know, you're like, okay, Randy created the fire. Donald got fired because Randy created a word. You're going to make a fire. No, the word had nothing to do with this. Nobody can accuse me of any, or accuse the Lord of anything, because what the word was had to do with was that you're not going to be under the resources and the paycheck or the salary or whatever, the system of another company. You're going to have your own sources. So it had nothing to do with that being fired or letting go or going to get another job. Had nothing to do with it. So when they saw that word, they go, man, you know, it couldn't have been said any better, I don't think. God is good, and we've had some sign. That was the first sign, and then, you know, 2 weeks later they got laid off, and so, you know, that was a sign to me, a big sign to me, of, you know, what we're going to start seeing this year. So get ready, everybody. It's going to be amazing.
It's just started.
Pray for you guys. All right. Anything else before anything I need to pray about before I start praying for you guys?
No, that's it, Randy. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay. All right. Thank you guys. Thank you for getting on and sharing with me. I love it. Thank you, Lord, for you and Jeff. God, you can yuck and juice. I bet you've never been called that before. Yuck and juice. That's how it just came out of my mouth. Yes, and juke. Oh, that is funny. That is really funny. And juke, or you can Jeff. Yes, youth. However I said it, I mean, however I said it now. Anyway, that was, I heard myself say, I'm going, interesting, what does that mean? So thank you, Lord, for the unity and bringing them into unity, Father, of faith with you, God. They're going to be part of that generation of raising up a new generation to think different, to look to God differently, to do things God's way, you know, to learn everything, every bit of warfare you think you're having is not always because, you know, it's the devil. Sometimes it's you just messing up. And we need to get a balance and all that and help people understand all that stuff. And so thank you, Lord, that that Jeff and Uke are going to be a part of that, raising up that new generation, that they're going to be mothers and fathers to that. They're going to be examples of how God uses them in the business realm, raising up, give me an example of how God blesses in the business realm, like, you know, the 20 years that came out of the wilderness, you know, 20 years up and older. That's what came out. And that them being a part of that, God, and that generation, and having the honor and the glory from God to be able to be an example. If you do it God's way, look what God does for you. Yeah, if you do it God's way, look at how God's going to bless you. And, so I thank you, Lord, for that. And then being mothers and fathers of a movement, Lord, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, let's go here to next caller, 863-808, and then I see 610, and I see 863-276, and I see 903-980. I see all you guys. I'll be getting to you when we get to you, if we get to you. Hopefully we will. All right, I think this is Cheryl from Florida. What's going on, Cheryl?
Well, you're just stirring me up. And I just have to remind you to forgive and stay pure, create in me a clean heart, oh God. David had to pray it, you know, with people coming against you. It just hurts. It hurts. And we start having to feel like we got to defend ourselves. You don't. You don't. You know, more than what makes a false prophet is who they are on the inside. So, you know, chuck it, and forgive. I know you have, but, you know, you start reading what the Bible says a false prophet is, okay? Really doesn't have a whole lot to do with prophecy. It's about who they are, what they are. So anyway, the Lord started showing me control and manipulation and greed way from the beginning, back in the 80s. When I come into the kingdom in 70, well, I rededicated my life to Jesus in 78. And I come to the Lord and I started noticing in a pure anointing. I remember I showed that to you. John Paul said a pure anointing came upon you. Well, there was a pure work of God going on. People were sincere, and it was just miracle signs and wonders around us and a pure anointing. And, you know, we gave out of a cheerful heart. We gave because we wanted to see the ministry. Nobody had to be manipulated. I remember it was a building program that we entered into because the church got so big we outgrew everything. And then the minute, and Randy, I'm not joking, the minute me as a pure, you know, young Christian just in love with the Lord. Now, I can't say that I always lived that way. I'm not saying I'm pure and people aren't. I'm just saying when that pure anointing came upon me, you could just see things so clearly. Anyway, they put up this, they had this building fund going on thing. And so they put this money up where you give the tithes and offerings, like in the Baptist church. It said training, you know, they used to put the money up on. Yeah. Well, they did this in the AG church that I was in. And so the minute they put that money up on the wall and how much money was given, and then they said getting people to buy a pew, and man, it's like the anointing just left. And we got the big, nice, beautiful church, and we got the big, nice this and that and the other, but the signs and the wonders and the anointing and the people coming to the Lord, it just stopped. I mean, it kept going, but it stopped. So the Lord just started showing me this, the greed is at the root of it. And people just remember, he said, the love of money is the root of all evil. What is the love of money? It's greed. So you get me stirred up. So I see it from a different perspective. You know, I had no idea. I seen it from that. I had no idea, and it took me a long time to hear when you said quit selling stuff in the church, because it was just a part of it. We grew up in it. We literally grew up in it.
Right.
And I couldn't put two and two together. And it's still, even when you said that, even though I could hear those people like turn seed sowing and harvest into just a money thing. That's all they teach. You know, I can name them too, but I'm not going to. What good is that getting too much? You know, it might keep some people from going astray, really, but I'm just not going to do it. But I knew what was behind it because I got behind the scenes with some of it. So where there's one, where there's a little bit of that or a little bit of that, there's other things behind it. So anyway, you got me stirred. But I'm just encouraging you, don't get mad, to get glad.
Yeah, well, that's been going on a long time. It happened a few months ago. And I don't talk about it publicly. Nobody really knew what was going on. You know, I'm just like, they want to talk, I'm talking to them, you know. I'm texting them back and forth, and they're asking questions. And basically what they said I was a false prophet over, then it ended up being other things too, was about that I didn't, that I wasn't preaching against the vaccine. That I was just saying, you know, I'm not going to take the vaccine, but I'm not going to preach against it because, you know what, it's a human thing. It's the way that the government takes care of things and they're doing things. I'm not saying it's never perfect, never perfect. But the Lord told me to keep my mouth shut and not to rail against it.
And so I'm glad I did. And so they called me a false prophet because of that. So it wasn't really like I felt bitter or anything, but it's just kind of like, you know, when you've been in the ministry a long time, I'm not saying things can't sneak up on you, but I've had a lot of different things go wrong and weird over the years that some of it was my fault, some of it was not my fault. And so you learn to just kind of like deal with it and move on. The big thing that keeps you from getting bitter, in all truth, and it is easy to get bitter, is that you keep your source as God. So when God's your source and someone comes up out of the blue who is faithful and loyal and says you're a false prophet, I'm going like, you know, I saw that on my text. I'm like going, what did you just say? You call me a false prophet because I don't believe that I'm not preaching against the vaccine. You know, that's it. And I just kind of went, oh, my God. And of course, they didn't like the whole Trump thing. They were big, big Trump people. And, you know, and so they didn't like any
so
of that.
So was I.
And
I still am. I still,
me too.
I still like him. Oh, my gosh. But that it doesn't – anyway, oh, Lord, help me, Jesus. Oh, my God.
Yeah, so just one thing went to another, and, you know, they didn't like that. Now I'm talking – now I'm not talking bad about the vaccine and saying that I'm not going to take it, but, you know, I'm not going to – God, you know, God, well, I have to do what God says. I have to listen to the voice of God, because when God's your source, you listen to what his voice is. And when his voice is speaking to you to do something, when people fight you about it, you don't get, it's a little bit harder to get bitter because, you know, the Lord, you fear the Lord. And when you fear the Lord, you don't fear what people do to you because you know it's not going to make any difference. And every time somebody quits, you know, God brings somebody else to give more and do more. I mean, I don't know how it works. It just happens automatically. I mean, it's like, boom, boom. I mean, you know, so I don't understand.
Well, the thing about it is people have their opinions, and we have to realize our opinions. And there's a lot of stuff out there. So who do you believe? It's like some people have chosen to. We don't know. Do I know? Personally, do I know what's in the vaccine? I have no clue. It comes down to who do I choose to believe? Do I, you know, this person says that it's got this in it. This scientist says this over here. And then this person says this over here. Of course we know there's a conspiracy. There's enough proven to know there's leaders in America that are not, that have their own selfish ambition in mind and their own agenda in mind and New World Order in mind. We know this, and that's our heads up on it. But my dad went and got it. It kept him from getting COVID. He's 97. Evidently, it kept him from getting it. I got it. I took care of him. So it's your opinion. And it's who you've chosen to believe, you know? So
Yeah, we've seen people on both sides. We've seen people, we have a lot of our friends who have taken the vaccine. I said, don't be afraid to talk. Don't let these people, these fear mongering people like Gary and Mary were doing. They didn't even realize they were doing it. They didn't have a clue they were doing it. But they were promoting, they wanted me to promote their fears, they wanted me to promote their stuff, and I wasn't gonna do it. They also said that when they had dream, Mary had a dream. This is all going to be fresh stuff. Mary had a dream that President Trump won the election, that Nancy Pelosi demons started manifesting through her. And they sent me this. I've got this all in text. I got this all documented. I'm talking about it for the very first time tonight because it's kind of over with. And so you know what? They wanted me to tell everybody about that. You know why I didn't tell everybody about it? Because I knew it wasn't going to come to pass. And I saved them the embarrassment of looking like a bunch of whatever. And so, you know, I never share. So when people share stuff with me that I know is not of God, I'm not going to get that out there and embarrass them. And when I know it's not God. And so I protected them. I kept them from that. And I guess they were thankful. I don't know if they were thankful or not. Maybe they didn't care. I don't know what they thought. But, you know, when people get bitterness towards you, as a prophet, they just start turning, and everything you say is wrong. You know, it just happens. I mean, it's happened with all of us, though. So.
Yeah. Well, it's a fact. There's just people are just going to get mad. This is what's happening. It's like the sheep and the goats. and I'm not saying they're precious people. Come on.
Oh, yeah.
You know that too.
Yeah.
It's just like we get messed up with opinions. We get messed up with the smaller stuff. I mean, the big stuff is, listen, when it all comes down, we're going to have to probably help, like you said, help feed each other. We're going to have to say, where's the food? Who's got, where's the route, you know, to get away from these people? I had a dream that, I did have a dream that my former pastor was preparing an escape route. And he was just like that too, because for Christians, I don't know that he was doing it or he's going to do it, but he's bad to the bone. He's a prophet. I mean, I certainly didn't agree with everything he did, but he's still to this day, he's just bad to the bone. And they were the ones that told us, and I say bad to the bone, I mean, just a tough man. He was just
powerful man.
Can't push him over. Powerful, yeah. So anyway, he knew that Texas and Florida, that was going to be people coming out of the, coming out of it, the system.
Yeah, coming out, right.
Way back when. This is when Ryan was a little boy. They were talking about
it. That's cool, yeah.
And so.
Yeah, I remember a lot of that.
I certainly don't agree with them. That they, some of them people just, whoa. I mean, you had to pray me through some of that stuff. But they were, you can't take away the prophet out of a man. I mean, they're still human. People are not going to be perfect. The prophet is not perfect. Well, I have to say, you're pretty accurate. You're very accurate. So,
you know,
but at the same time, I had to learn this the hard way. Now, I have seen prophets, I've seen apostles that work in the third eye, use their third eye, so-called. And that's a whole nother story. But you got me stirred up. But I'm telling you, this manipulation and control, wherever you see that, wherever you see greed, that's where it's going to be. And so we don't know. We don't even know what it is. It sneaks in. The enemy sneaks in. And it's a low vibration. I feel it right now. It's a low vibration. It's not God. It's not pure. It's not holy. I watched this guy delivering somebody from demons on Facebook. And there was such a pure holiness on him. He was just out. They were outside. They were setting people free. People were getting deliverance. That's what being a Christian is, caring about people, setting the captive free. We need to go back to what Jesus said, to do the work of the ministry. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, deliver people from demons. Yeah, prophesy, yeah. Prophesy, but we do the work of the ministry and stop all this arguing because we're going to need one another. You know, that's what the Lord told me. Stop throwing the baby out with the bathwater and love your brother and your sister. So, and I know you got to be a prophet at the same time. And you got to speak the truth in love, and people are going to be in your face, and they're not going to like you because they don't like the tone of voice or they don't like the way you said that. And it doesn't sound like love sometimes, but it's love.
Yeah.
If God said it, it's love. So I'm
sorry. Could you imagine in the days of, I mentioned this the other day on the show, but this is one of the most shocking prayers I've ever heard in my life when I first read it from Paul the Apostle. He said, we're going to turn this young guy over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh. The statement of his soul, I'm going like, if I told people, if I sent a text out and say, we're going to turn this person over to Satan, they'd right away, as soon as they saw that, be going like, we're out of here. That's it. No more. You know, they ain't gonna. Chandler is flipped out. He's crazy. And then at the end, they read the scripture and they go, "Oh, Paul the Apostle did that." And they don't realize that, you know, there's all these different ways when God goes after a person, and they're on their way to hell, and they're on their way to destruction, whatever the thing is. He does whatever it takes to go after them. And if he has to give them over to Satan for the destruction of their flesh, to save their soul, he will do it. Because he's more for the soul getting saved and getting right with God than he is about what everybody feels about everything.
Right. And I know that. I didn't want to hear that either. When you start talking, I knew that just as well as you know it. But when you started talking it and you started telling me that I got to do that, and I start thinking about my children going through hard times, little mamas. You know, I mean, not you didn't tell me to do that with my children, but I'm just saying, me and mama,
no.
And you're going to tell somebody, come and tell me I got to turn somebody over to what?
Oh, yeah.
So that's
crazy.
The thing. Do you understand?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like we're like mama hen. We want everybody to be up in our little hen basket, whatever they call it.
Yeah.
Our nest.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So we get like that, and we're scared.
Yeah.
And it's the end times. So I can understand why people, I feel that way. Turn who, what? But it's
crazy.
The thing about it is do we have our eyes set on eternity? Are we living this life? Are we so concerned about the affairs of this life? Or do we really have eternity in our hearts? What's in our hearts, you know? So God is, I'm telling you, this last year, he's really, I've been away. I've had to get things lined out myself and just straightened out in my heart. You know, I come out of that 20 years of what, and then you're messed up. Your boundary system's down, not working properly. God's showing you, and then you get sideswept. You think, I can see manipulation and control over here, and I can see don't go that way. You can't go to greed that way. And then it all comes into a new package, into your life. In some kind of slick way the enemy tries to come over here. And you think you've got it all figured out. He's slick. He comes in another corner. You know, and another package with somebody else who's just as sweet.
Yep.
And then you go, oh, my God, this is what? This is the whole same thing in a different package. And another person.
That's why Satan went after Eve, because he knew that women were made emotional. They're made a whole different way, and he knew that. And he got her on you know, the weakness that women have, and that is they want to know what's going on. You know, we want to know what's going on because we're communicators. We want to connect and we want to know what's happening. Tell us everything. And so when Satan said, you know, God's holding some stuff back from you, Evie, he goes like, but I can fix you up. She's going like, yeah, give me some of that. And so he uses our stuff, you know, to get us. And so it's just amazing. Satan is he really knows how to get into our emotional, mental, psyche realm and just talk to us in ways that, because he knows in many ways how God made us. He knew how God made Eve, or he wouldn't have talked to her like that. He knew exactly how to talk to her.
And power struggle is another one. It's all up in the church. And it's all about Babylon. He said it right. It's the spirit of Babylon. It's power and greed, the same thing that drives these people that's trying to take over the world like Pinky and the Brain. It's the same spirit. And that's why the Lord says, come out of her so you do not receive of her, what do you call it, the punishment? Yeah. Because it's coming. Because Babylon, remember the children of Israel? I was under Babylon for 70 years. 70 years. And the Lord started saying, come out of her, because come out. He started calling them out. And the reason why is because he was getting ready to deal with Babylon. The same spirit. I've been saying that for years, too. You're not the only one, Randy. You just see it from a little different God told me when I was
in that abuse, it was Babylon.
The big way that it is manifest,
that the whore has manifested in the church, is that the leadership has fallen for that, for the, what the serpent has in their weakness. You know, how are we going to pay for our buildings that we want to build? How are we going to pay for our ministry TV bills that we want to get on TV? Nothing wrong with all that stuff. But if God's not guiding you to do that, then you're going to end up paying for it. So what do you do when you try to pay for it? You try and find any way to save your hide. That's what I would do. I'd do anything to save my hide. You know, I'd sell anything, do anything, give me some money. And when you find out the selling thing worked, then they became, you know, addicted. And once they got addicted, I'm telling you, the reason God's going to have to whack this thing big time is because that addiction is so strong that they are not going to come out of it. It's going to take a whole other generation of leaders, like what happened with Israel coming out of the wilderness when the 20-year-olds came out, 20 years old and up. That's what's going to have to happen. And it's sad that a lot of these people, Marcus Lamb is a good example. You know, kind of like, in a sense, I wouldn't mind calling him a Moses. He died in the wilderness. And God's got a new generation, the Joshua generation.
What the Lord said to me, he said the other day, he said, I am changing things in the earth right now. There's things changing, and the Lord's hand is in it. He's in it. And he said, those people that has got their heels dug in saying, we're going to carry on the same way and do the same thing, is going to get dealt with. I don't know. I don't know how God's going to deal with it. That's up to him. But he gave me Jehu this morning, Jehu. Jehu was the king that came along and dealt with Jezebel, and wasn't he in with Elijah and took down Jezebel and Ahab?
Elijah.
Okay. Elisha. Anyway, Jehu.
Elijah was the one who gave the word that Jezebel was going to be eaten up by dogs. They're going to lick the blood and eat. And then he gets caught up, passes the mantle on Elisha, and then Elisha. He said, go anoint a new king, and Elijah told him to go anoint a new king, and all that, and then he does it. So that's kind of how that happened.
So the Jehus are coming. The Jehus are coming, and I started reading it, but I'm taking care of Dad. But the Lord said, read Jehu, read that. That's what's coming. And those that are preparing, it's almost like, there's nothing you can do right now, but you can prepare in the spirit. You can ask God what, like you said, to change. I'm asking God, what do you want me to do? Because I know I'm keeping Dad. I don't want that to be an excuse not to do what God's called me to do. You know, I got my hands full, but I will do whatever, you know, Lord, if you'll show me if I'm doing something wrong, because I'm listening to what you're saying. Because I know there's a call in my life, but I have really, going through this, I thought, my God, maybe there isn't a call. Maybe I'm just called to do this. Daddy said I'm just called to say, you know how you just question everything when you're in that time. What? What'd you say?
You're just called to help him?
Yeah, that's what he said. I was born to help him.
This is hard.
And I belong to him. I'm like, Daddy, I rebuke that in Jesus' name. I belong to Jesus.
This is hard. You better be nice to him. We'll be sending some more people over there to watch that.
I was born like in his, he was 40, you know. I was like that middle-aged baby being born. And my brother and sister was grown. Almost, my brother was almost grown. So he said, you know, I had a child. You know, it don't matter. I'm going to just say this. I'm going to let you pray for me and shut up. But it don't matter who you don't like. God loves his people. It doesn't matter who you don't like or who you've chosen to point a finger at. It doesn't matter who's going astray. and who's doing wrong. What matters is what God said to do. He said to love him with all your heart and your neighbor as yourself. It don't matter. God told me quit throwing the baby out with the bath water.
Yeah.
And that's grow up time. It's grow up time for prophets too. It's my grow up time. Pray for people. Bless your enemies. Do good to those who curse you. Grow up time. If we can't grow up now, what's going to happen when we are, when all of our rights are taken and we have to help and love one another? What's going to happen? You know what's going to happen? You're going to suddenly forget all your little idiosyncrasies and your little bitterness and your little, I don't like her. I don't like the way she talks. I don't like the way he talks. I don't like the way he said that. I'm sorry. It's time to grow up.
All right. Awesome. All right. Anything you want to pray for specifically before I move on?
Grow up. Did I grow up?
Okay. We can always do that.
No. I don't have anything to pray for necessarily. I just wanted to say those things that gets me stirred up. I want you to stay in forgiveness. I want you to keep going and growing in love and God, and I want to do the same thing. And I want to protect people. I don't want to reject people. And I know that God is going to separate. You know, he is good. The angels are going to come and do some separating. We don't have to be so concerned about that. He's going to do it. Okay, I'm going to go. You can pray for me.
All right. Enjoyed it.
All right.
Bye. All right. Thank you, Lord, for Cheryl. We thank you, Lord, for stirring her up. Thank you, Jesus, for stirring her up. We thank you, Lord, you're stirring up your people. You're going to stir up some of the things we've given up on. Some of the things that we've thought, well, you know, I can't really minister that because, you know, some of the words I get are a little rough, they're a little tough, and then everybody's into gooey, gooey, nice and chewy stuff all the time, and there's no place for those words. Well, you know, it's all in how we give words, of course, but that's changing. The voice of Jesus is changing. He's changing from, you know, we're going to see a balance of, more of a balance from the Lord. I will bless those who bless. I will to those who obey my voice and listen to my voice and do what I say, I will bless you. If you don't do it, I will curse you. That's God saying that. It's not the devil. No, he didn't say, I'm giving you over to the devil. Well, Paul said that. God said that. And to find a balance on that, so the fear of God enters back into the church again. You can't even get people like Kenneth Copeland to say those scriptures. He would, if up to him, he would take them out, you know, literally. I've listened to him for years. I loved him for years and enjoyed, tried to do what he said for years. And so I know what he says. And it's just one example I'm using because of, you know, the falsehood in that, how he didn't even know what he was doing. He was stripping the reverential fear and all of God out of people. Oh, God is just a good God. Oh, Robert said the same thing. Oh, Robert was my man. He was my spiritual father at a distance, and he was the same way. God is a good God, but he never talked about it much in specifics and taught about it. Kenneth Copeland did. He tried to break it down, and boy, he broke it down into a bunch of pile of horse manure for the most part, and it's really sad. And he has a lot of the great teachings about a lot of the great things, no doubt. A man of God, yeah, no doubt about it, but the merchandising thing and that thing right there, it's going to come down. It's going to come down big. Because you know, as we're praying with Cheryl, we're thinking of this whole thing of the balance of the scales. Balance of the scales. Where we see love in all of it. You know? And so, all right. I've given words, and I've had some of you PGM people, some of them are not with us anymore, but it sent me a text when I said something about Ananias and Sapphira being taken out by God. And they, right away, this person been on the word for years, sent me a text. Bless her heart. She was sweet as she could be. She said, Randy, we have a better covenant. I said, dear, that is the better covenant. That's the better covenant.
That was the new covenant. That was right when it was birthed. And she never answered back. She never said a thing back. Thank God, because she's a smart woman. Never said a thing back. Never gave me a bunch of flack about what she could have. I mean, I love to talk to people about stuff. I love to talk stuff down, man. I'm not afraid to talk stuff down. I'm pretty scripturally based. I know the Word of God pretty well. And, but people have different things going on, man. A lot of that stuff has crept into the body of Christ. Like they got a better covenant. That was from Kenneth Copeland. It showed me that it didn't come from Kenneth Copeland. That person was a Kenneth Copeland person, off and on over the years. So I knew the product of that. I knew exactly where that came from. And I'm going, man, that's just like, you don't even realize that it was in the New Testament. I just said it's in the New Testament. You're familiar with the scripture. And you said we have a better covenant. I'm going like, Kenneth Copeland, bang, God would never do that. He'd never had anything to do with that. He didn't kill him. Yeah, he did. And when we get the balance of that done correctly, well, not imbalanced, not always on the judgment side, not always on the blessing side. I'm on both. I'm into the treasures, the blessings, and if you don't obey the voice of the Lord, that those treasures are not going to come to you. And the ones you get, they're going to burn it because the things you do on your own, you think you're doing some wonderful job over there. Like, I decided I'm going to do this over here. It's what I'm going to do. And you think it's all holy and right. You better make sure it's God, friend, because all the stuff you did, it's going to burn up. It will be burned up. You'll be saved, but all your false bunch of, being led by the Holy Ghost and you're just doing your own thing. And I've done plenty of it. I've done plenty of it. Stuff, it got lost, burned up, no rewards with it. It wasn't providing any kind of thing for my future blessing from God. Yeah, so anyway. All right, Cheryl, I'm not sure what that was about. But. All right, got my next caller in line, 610-969. I think it's Lisa from Pennsylvania.
Shalom. Hi, Prophet Randy.
Hey,
I sent you a text.
How are you doing?
I sent you a text about, I have two questions. What was the scripture that you were reading earlier tonight when you were talking about the curses from God? Was that in the ones in Deuteronomy, or were you talking about, did you have another scripture?
Well, there's different ones, but one of the ones I used was in Deuteronomy, yeah.
Okay. And also, I was asking you, I sent you a text about, like, if you can please clarify to me, even though you spoke about it a lot, if God claimed that the taking of the bait, believing in the or being an anti-vax advocate. I sent you a text.
Right,
because
you're an anti-vax advocate, which is okay. I'm not against that.
Well,
you know,
I don't want to be taking no bait. I swore I thought the Lord had showed me all that.
Well, that's
so I'm just questioning my.
We're looking at a whole different thing here. We're not even talking about you or anybody. This had to do with a global ministry. Who, I can't explain everything. I know there's things that's messed up about the vaccine. There's no question some of the stuff that's gone on has been messed up. But I've also done my own, among our own people here at PGN, I've asked them, did you guys take the vaccine? If you did, how are you doing? What's going on? And they're going like, man, I'm fine. I talked to a guy at Subway. I interviewed him. I'm going to play the interview sometime. He was the first person of the IDS, the school district of Dallas to get COVID. He was the first person. I said, can you come? Can I do an interview with you? I interviewed him. He was an African-American man, a beautiful man, like 65 and looked like he was 40. He was just a handsome man, a beautiful man. He was very worldly, very left wing, the whole thing. And so I said, so you took the vaccine, right? He said, yeah. I said, do you have any problem with it? Now my arm hurt for a little bit. And I have no problems at all. Nothing, no problems at all. So really, and I interviewed him and got his name and everything. But he's had friends who have taken them, so there's things out there that are showing that the vaccine's not perfect, of course. So, but the point is about why, about taking the bait had to do with the fact that because Marcus and Joni are merchandisers and we have been very specifically spoken about that for years, And it's very specifically right before he died. If you listen to the, go back to listen to those shows, right before he died, the last 2 weeks of, and even the last couple of days before he died, I'm talking, you know, God's going to take him out. And it's not about the vaccine thing. The vaccine was a bait, but it's about merchandising. And God's going to remove him, his some of the stuff that he did back years ago, though I know he's got it right with God. Just like me, I've gotten things right with God. You know, I'm not, there's no condemnation thing, but I said, when you're in leadership and you're out there in the wide open where you influence millions of people and you do stuff, it's a whole different realm than it is some little guy. It's horrible for anything to go on. But when you're in a high realm, so I said, because of those things, he will never have the favor that he was supposed to have to finish Daystar the way it is. I said, God's going to take him out. And I talked about this in many different ways for, you know, a couple of weeks. And then we found out he died. And so the reason that Joni took the bait was, it was more of the fact that that God put that bait out there, which I know it sounds crazy. And it's not about being for the vaccine or against the vaccine. He told me, he said that Joni took the bait for attacking the vaccine, which she's done very vigorously and done a great job. I mean, she's been very bold and very courageous and the whole thing. In the natural realm, that's what it looks like. It looks like she's just saving the world and doing all this stuff. And, you know, a lot of people are hurrahing her and saying what a great lady she is and all that. And, you know, I have no qualms with that, except when you got a word from God and you tell, and God's telling me that she took the bait and Marcus joined her and in her with it. And I had talked about months before that I wasn't calling her Jezebel and him Ahab. I talked about this months ago. I said, I'm not saying Joni's Jezebel and Marcus is Ahab, but God's going to deal with them like he dealt with them. And you know how Ahab was taken out? By an arrow that wasn't even pointed at him. It just kind of hit him and killed him. And so you know, when Joni got the Joni's talking about the vaccine, right? So that's her opinion. She can do whatever she wants. She's talking bad about the vaccine and talking about how that, you know, we're on all this stuff. We're on hydroxychloroquine and all that. And, you know, we're going to be fine. You know, we're not saying we can't get it, but we're going to be fine. And, you know, God's going to protect us. And then, you know, all of a sudden, you know, and here's Joni just whacking away at the vaccine. I mean, like I've never seen, it was amazing, some of the stuff she came up with. And a lot of exaggerations, I know a lot of exaggerations in it. Some of it true, yeah, no doubt. But a lot of exaggerations. And so the vax people will rail against me on that one. But if you're no vax person, you go for all that hook, line, and sinker. And so it's just exaggerated. A lot of it's exaggerated. And so because of that, when she took that bait, and God told me she took the bait, that he was going to deal with him like Jezebel and Ahab, well, who got taken out first? And Jezebel and Ahab. Ahab did. And then a while later, you know, Jezebel got taken out. I said, that's how it's going to happen. I didn't know what taken out meant. I didn't mean killed. I didn't know about that. And I didn't mean die. I didn't mean anything. I'm just giving the word of the Lord. And so, you know, then people want to argue with me about what's right and wrong with the vaccine after I say that. I don't want to talk about that. That's not even the point. So that's it. And but it's not about the vaccine so much as it is about the merchandising. The main thing that opened up the gate, the gate to Marcus, the head gate of Daystar Network to be dealt with, was merchandising, not the vaccine. The vaccine was the bait. And look how they died. Look how they died. They died. We don't take the vaccine. We don't take it. And then her husband, who was in agreement with her on it, died of COVID. I mean, died of COVID. Not almost died. That would have been rough. I kept waiting to see what's going on. What's going on over there? And I mean, he was getting ready to get out. She said he was fine. Everything was good. He was on hydroxychloroquine. She finally said that again. And some other things. Well, that stuff wouldn't protect. That stuff wouldn't. And they were making it, saying a lot of things that are making people feel like they're protected, and they weren't protected. That makes me mad. I get upset about that. Making people feel like they're protected And that's where the bait was. They're making people feel like they're protected, and they were not protected. Marcus was not protected, okay? I know I'm upset about this. I'm ticked off about it because of, you know, and yet at the same time I had a word, you know, the word Lord is coming to pass, so it's kind of a contradictory thing. But you know, Joni's going to pay the price for that. You know, I'm sorry. It's going to happen unless she repents of it. It's going to turn on her big time, and it's going to be very public. Hopefully that answered some of it.
Wow. Well, yeah, I just wanted to, there's a lot of things I want to touch on. Okay, so it's so interesting you brought up the Jezebel Ahab thing. I remember that. I remember everything, actually. I remember when you were talking about it. The main thing that you spoke about is because when you shame the Lord's name, you lose your favor, and how, because you're given such a big, I guess the way you put it is like
platform.
Almost like a responsibility, you know, on a platform, and you have to steward it well. That's how I'm taking it. So I remember you talking about that, and that he lost favor because of the infidelity. Okay, so I remember all that, and I remember when you were talking about the, you know, the merchandising and how God is going to take him out and all that. I remember that because I was shocked because I was just like, oh, my God, Prophet Ramsey, Marcus Lamb died today, you know. And I was just like, I remember when we were praying for him when he was in the hospital and stuff. So, okay,
yeah.
Getting back to the Jezebel and Ahab thing, the thing that really sticks out to me, Prophet Randy, is that this is where I'm like, God, please, I don't want to be deceived, because you said, well, how was Jezebel and Ahab taken out? Okay, wasn't Ahab tricked by the so-called, you know, by his false prophets with Jehoshaphat, you know, and Micaiah came in and talked about, you know, that the Lord was going to send a lying spirit into the mouths of the prophets. Okay, so you're
there
saying
you
that, right? And I'm
yes,
like, oh, my gosh. So, yeah, so I'm thinking about that. And you said, how is Jezebel and Ahab taken out? You just said that. And then the way Jezebel was taken out is by her own eunuchs. Yo, like, what was Jehu? But it was by the her own eunuchs. And I've been
her
looking
own,
up this
right.
lately about the eunuchs. They're the ones that are privy. They're the ones that serve you. They only operate in delegated authority. They have no authority of their own. I call them the yes men. You know, they're the castrated males, you know. But I'm speaking spiritually rather than, you know, physically, you know. But
yeah.
How they serve in your bedchamber. They are the ones, Jezebel's very own servants, the ones that she thought she had a total hold on. When Jehu had said to, you know, to them, you know, are you with, you know the story. First he said, you know, you and your holly trees, you know, and she was on the balcony and everything. And then he had said to them, if they were for him, and if they were for Israel and they were for him, to push her off. And that's how she came down. So when you're telling me, Prophet Randy, how was Jezebel and Ahab taken down? I'm thinking about all that. I'm thinking about, well, the lying spirit that were sent into the mouths of the prophets, and how you're telling me, or you telling all of us, that how Joni took the bait, but you said it has nothing to do with the vaccine. So I'm just like processing all this, because I know that you said it's all about the merchandising, and I believe you. I'm just trying to, you know, like kind of piece everything together, Prophet Randy, and just
okay,
make
hang
sure.
Okay, hang on just a second, please.
I'm not here.
Thank you. Yeah, well, let's kind of repeat that maybe really quickly as we can. It wasn't about the vaccine. It was everything. It was about the vaccine, but what opened up the door, the vaccine to become the bait, was the merchandising. But the vaccine became the bait that they watched, because when they're talking bad about the vaccine, what happens? Her husband dies of it. You know, or not dies of the vaccine, but dies of the COVID.
Well,
the very thing they're fighting, the very thing they're saying. You know, that's crazy.
Yeah, and so interesting how you said how he had a sudden heart attack. Well, doesn't the Lord say that men's hearts will fail them? And like how it was so out of the blue, there was nothing they could do about it. It wasn't even now that you're telling me it's the heart attack, which I think I heard this before, though, it's like it's not even the protocol that, you know, that her and her doctors, her naturopathic doctors came up with. It was like a heart attack out of the blue. So that's just really interesting to me. Interesting to me. It's a sovereign move of God, apparently, because you have the word of the Lord beforehand. But I'm just like, wow, this is.
Yeah, what we have here, Lisa, is we have a move of God going on, and nobody even knows it. Think I'm being mean? They just think, you know, a lot of people. Some of you guys listening right now, you just mean. I had literally some people tell me here on PGN. You know, meant well. I mean, they're our family, right? They can say whatever they want, and I don't mind. They said, why do you keep talking so bad about Marcus Lamb for? I said, I'm not talking bad about Marcus Lamb so much as I'm talking about the system that's going to take him out. You know, when Jesus drove out the money changers, he knocked over the tables and whipped the tables and whipped it. He wasn't out there whipping the people so much as he was, taking down the system. And so people just totally, they don't understand the prophet, and it's, you know, it's okay. It's no big deal. But when you speak the word of the Lord, man, you need to listen very closely to what's being said. Or you're going to misinterpret it. It's very easy to misinterpret the word of the Lord.
Yeah, and we've been indoctrinated so much, you know, like you were talking about, the certain, you know, teachings that came out. And so we think that, you know, if you speak against anyone, that is judgmental, and you're not supposed to judge or be critical. It's all about mercy and grace. But it also says to, this is where we need a balance. It also says to have no part of unfruitful works of darkness, but to expose them. So do we expose only the works of darkness or the people who are, perpetrating the fraud, you know, as so to speak?
Yeah.
So it's like a balance. Like you have,
when they with the whole heart agree that, and they come against me, I guarantee you. I mean, one of these days I'm going to tell the whole story. Dadgum, I can't wait to tell the whole story about some things that Marcus and Joni, I don't know who instigated it, but when I get ready to tell that story, it's going to blow some people's minds. And it's also, the reason I haven't talked about it for several different reasons, yeah, when you got money, you can do just about whatever you want. You can hire people to do all kinds of things. And so long story short, after they did what they did, it was, I forget what month that was in. It was like this is 2022, 2021. I think it was 2021. It might have been, 2021. They did some stuff, man. And it was good, boy. Whoever came up with it, Joni probably came up with it. That was really hot. That was one of the best things I've ever seen. I was going, my God. And I almost went for it. You know, if it hadn't not been for the grace. It was done so well, prepped so well, put together so well. I don't know how much money they put into that, but it was done very well. And it's the grace of God that the reason I can't wait to tell the story is to tell you how God showed me what was going on. He did it through one of the people that they had hired to do this little thing. There's three of them, and actually two that were involved in it, and the look in that one person's eye, this person looked at me right when they were setting it up, looked right at me, and when he looked at me, I instantly, the Holy Spirit, I didn't read his mind, but the Spirit of God said, this guy is here to do some bad stuff. He's here setting something up. And I went, what? And it was his eyes that told me that. It wasn't like some supernatural vision. They don't even know. I've never even talked about this publicly. But his eyes and the look on his face, and little do they think I'm just a prophet about certain things. No. You know, I know what people are going to do many times before they do it if God wants me to know it, if he wants me to know it. And instantly I knew it's like it flashed before me, like I want to get words of knowledge. And this guy, and the guy that they hired, him and this other lady, that he's the one who actually sent the message to my eyes without ever saying a word. And I picked up and I knew exactly what he was doing there. It was amazing, man. I mean, it was amazing. So you know, after that happened, it was, well, whatever time that was in 2021, I have to go back and figure out the timing on it. But, right, you know, so now look what happened. They opened up the door to, that's when they started taking the bait on, Joni taking the bait with the vaccine thing. And then now Marcus is dead. So they opened up a door they should not have opened. I mean, they think they just do whatever they want because they got money. And they got God's people behind them. You think you got multitudes of people behind you and lots of money? Listen, I'll tell you what. I would probably done the same thing if I'd have been them. If I'd have been them, I might have done the same thing. I'm not judging them. I'm just saying what happened. And what they don't realize is who they're dealing with. They're dealing with somebody that God has chosen to, on a certain level, to do a certain job. And it's hard to get people to do the job I'm doing. Really, really hard to do the job that God has me doing, which makes it really cool. But when he does, he highly, at a high level, he protects me. At a high level, he protects me and lets me know what people are thinking before they do it. When it involves trying to do something to undermine what his servant. And believe me, he is. If you ever get a hold of, in reality, the extreme jealousy God has over his servants who will do whatever he says, whenever he says, however he says it, whenever he says it, the way he says it, the way he wants it said, without any qualms, and you try to mess with that person, you know, he only deals with people according to their motives. He doesn't deal with them according to their actions. He deals with them according to their motives. Somebody could do something really, really bad, and God goes, yeah, I ain't going to mess with them. Their motives weren't really that bad. I'm going like, what? You know, they did, but that, he said, yeah, Randy, their motives were not evil. I went, oh, okay. Sorry. And then he turns right around to somebody else. He goes, man, their motives were evil. They're trying to take you out. And they believe the lie. They believe a couple of different lies about some things, family things. They believe those lies. They put different things together and took off with some stuff. And, man, did they ever open themselves up to the devil. Or I don't know if it's a devil or not, but to the judgment of God. So there you go.
Wow.
There's another little bit more revelation.
Wow. Oh, my goodness. Okay, so when you're telling me about these people, I'm thinking right away, like I'm connecting, there's the eunuchs again, but I'm not sure the context, but that's what came up in my mind. And you know when you're telling me about the look in the eyes, I know I think I know what you're talking about, Prophet Randy, because that's happened to me before where I saw things in people's eyes, like weird, like almost like fear and just weird stuff. Like you can know what they're thinking or their motives.
Well, God used him to communicate. He did not know what he was doing, but God used him to communicate to me what was going on, because Jesus could read people's minds. I mean, you know, he would stand there and he would know what the Pharisees are thinking. He knew that they were thinking about setting him up. He knew that they were, and he would say it. I know what you guys are thinking. And so when God wants us to know that stuff, we're not mind. I'm not a mind reader at all. I don't claim to be a mind reader. I'm not a mind reader. But when God gets ready to show me something, I can see right. I can see exactly every. I feel every emotion. I feel everything. When they look at me, it's like God used him. If he'd have been smart and had some sunglasses on, and hid his eyes, maybe it, I don't know. I really don't know. But it's like it was just like a projection screen on my mind, and God goes this. And so what happened was, with me, it wasn't like some deep, secretly, you know, mysterious thing. Because once God showed me, they don't even know this, but I backed off, and I went and did some other things, and I stepped back around, and I watched what went on. And sure enough, it was exactly that. And then they had other people involved in it too. You know, it was just really well done. I have to give him a clap. That was a great job, man. Whoever put that together, probably Joni, I don't know, but maybe a crew of them together. But that was, hey, girl, Joni, that was awesome, man. Congratulations. You all had not been for the Holy Ghost, you would have got me on that one. So good job.
Exactly. When you're telling me, if he was smart, I'm thinking, nah, it had nothing to do with smart or not. That was another sovereign. That was another sovereign move of God, showing you everything. But, man, I don't know. I'm being a little bit nosy, so it's like I can't wait till you tell us, but maybe I don't want to say that because that's not really It seems like it's not something good. Tell us what you're talking about. You said that one day when God releases it, but it's
no.
I know,
there's a purpose.
I know,
there's a purpose. There's a purpose for it. And no, I would never. When I get ready to do that, I'll do it without anybody asking me.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I said. I'm in a way, I'm being nosy, but it's like,
I don't think it's.
You know what I mean? It's not even something good, so it's nothing for us to really be like, oh, tell us.
No, what's wrong? What's wrong with exposing the enemy? What's wrong with that? Nothing. It's just that. There's nothing wrong with it at all.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying you're wrong. Your curiosity is wrong. What I'm saying is that, you know, when I get ready to reveal it, believe me, just like I revealed Gary and Mary tonight, you know, that's gone on a long time ago. And I protected them. I saw what the Lord said tonight, you know, go ahead, tell people what's going on with that. And you know, I'm not doing it to shame them. I'm just, Paul the Apostle named first and last name people when they had been with him and then they turned against him. He brought their names out. He said, the reason I'm having to tell you their first and last names is because they were with me, and most of you think he's still with me, but they're not with me. They are not on my side. They are not with me any longer. They have turned against me. So that's one of the reasons I did it tonight. They have a biblical base on it, or I'd be in trouble.
Yeah, this is, you know, it's sad because I understand both sides of when people are telling you, you know, oh, you know, why are you being mean and this and that? You know, I get that. I understand that side. But then I also understand the way you explain to us how God is using you in the office of the prophet. And I get it. I see how everyone has their own, an understanding. So when you're talking about the things that you've gone through and how people have turned, I don't see it as you being nasty or mean, but it's someone who doesn't get all perspectives and they just see it from one perspective, they might take it that way because of the way we've been indoctrinated, like, you know, in the body of Christ. But another thing is, Prophet Randy, it's been prophesied, well, it's always been prophesied, but it's been really prophesied that this is the time, the season of exposure. God's had enough. You know, we can't have all this secret nonsense happening, you know, like, we have to, God has grace and mercy, thank God. But he also wants a purified bride. And the purified bride is more important, I think. He says to what? He says to love mercy. What is it? Love mercy. Act justly, walk humbly. You know, mercy triumphs over judgment. I believe in that. But then also I remember God telling me some years ago, teaching me that sometimes his judgment is mercy. You know, and there's a lot of teaching coming out now about God's judgment and his wrath and the curses that come from him. And there are curses that come from him. And, you know, it's just, I guess it's the season that we're in. We have to get right. So I appreciate you explaining all that again. I just want to make sure because, like, I know you talked about it before. I know I asked you about it before. But I'm, like, trying to think, like, oh, my gosh, is debate believing, you know, the whole –
Not necessarily.
So, yeah.
No, debate. The, when I said debate with Joni, it had to do with a very thing for her. In other words, she has a public forum, global, and debate became the vaccine, the non-vax thing. And so that became a bait. Like I've told you before, I don't agree that the vaccine – I'm not taking the vaccine. You know, I've been going through COVID for the last 3 weeks thinking it was some, you know, calling thing going on. Just found out I got tested positive.
How are you feeling?
I'm doing really good. I don't really feel bad. I just don't really feel good. You know, it's really weird. I hate not feeling good.
Yep.
I'm an energetic person.
Yep.
I like to get out and do stuff. So, but I'm doing better. I do better every day at feeling better. Yeah.
I'm so glad. And you're out of the cedar area, even though it wasn't that. It could have been aggravating it if you do have an allergy to it. I don't know. But I wanted to switch gears real quick, Prophet Randy. I wanted to ask you for prayer and counsel for Andre. He had asked me. So he has a what they call a PCRA some kind of appeal hearing coming up, and his family put all this money together for a lawyer, and in the state of Pennsylvania, in the correctional facilities, there's like an outbreak of the COVID, and he was scheduled like for a virtual court hearing, and then there was all this like miscommunication, and he was told he was going to have to go in transport to like to be put in quarantine to go for his court date, like to go in person. And his aunties and people and even myself were trying to contact his lawyer because the facility that he was at was like, we need to hear from your lawyer because we're scheduled for you to go to transport to your court date, which is going to be like a whole thing, like being transported to another facility and then quarantined and all this other stuff. And so it was like all this like miscommunication and hassle. And he's like very leery, because if he gets transported, he'll miss his conference call, like his briefing with his lawyer. And they paid thousands upon thousands for this lawyer. And also, like, he'll be, like, he doesn't even know who he'll be. He'll be just transported somewhere for his court date. So can we pray about that? I already prayed about it, but I'm just seeing if the Lord is giving you anything on that. So basically, he wants to be able to stay where he's at and just talk to his lawyer via video conferencing, and have his court via video conferencing. If that makes sense.
Yeah. Okay.
And
all
it's
right.
An appeal
hang on, here.
An appeal here.
Right.
I didn't even hear you.
Yeah. Hang on just a moment. I'll be right there. I'm gonna pray. Give me just a moment.
Pray over Andre tonight. Thank you, Lisa, for the love of the Lord, and to serve him and believe God for Andre. He's really precious soul. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you. I just, you know what, I feel like that we need to be done right now? The spirit of praise. Either enter into some praise over this, enter into some thanksgiving over this, and not try to figure out all the details and what's going on, but just somehow not even get a group of people or yourself. I don't know how you can do this exactly, but to break loose in praise. First thing I got when you asked me is to break loose in praise. The spirit of praise is something we try to, you know, and I do this too. We all do this. Try to figure out, you know, how do we pray a particular prayer? And how do we break this thing loose? And a particular prayer, a particular thing, and on, and you know. And sometimes that's the strategy. Sometimes that can be the strategy. Just like when, when God told them to, you know, instead of putting the army out in front, you know, put the praisers out in front, right? And when they did that, well, it didn't make any sense. Why do you have to put the praisers after they're just going to get shot and killed and maimed and, you know, whatever. But you know what? When God says to do something, he protects it. And so, you know, the thing about his freedom and his liberty, that's wrapped up in Jesus between him and the Lord. And I believe that God wants to liberate him and set him free where he can move on with his life. And so I think that right now, like Jehoshaphat, get the praisers, the worship team, and just break through this cloud of oppression, doubt that tries to hit him, all the stuff going on with COVID and all the things. And it's very real. And I'm not saying it's funny. There's nothing to it. No, it's very real. You know, I've been hit by it myself. I know the little bit of darkness around it. It can be very, I can imagine what other people have gone through with it. But so the Lord is saying, Jehoshaphat, study Jehoshaphat. I look at you in 2 trials, but you already know about it. But praises. We're looking for a specific word, specific information. And believe me, I love that. And you know I love that. I love it when I get specific information how to pray. But this is specific information. It is send forth the praisers and the worshipers and let God bring him out. Let God bring him out. Amen. And let God get the glory and God get the praise. And, of course, the people of God who obey the Lord get credit for, in a sense, they get rewarded for their obedience in doing what God says, and that is praise him, worship him. And so we thank you, Lord, for breaking that cloud of darkness. It's very real. A phony, it's not fake. It's not. It's very real. And we thank you for the spirit of the world being broken off, my brother. We thank you for the slavery and bondage being broken off, my brother. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for the spirit of freedom upon my brother, Andre, in Jesus' name. That he will stand up and walk upright in the name of Jesus before the Lord. Hallelujah. And be a testimony shining bright and crying out in the streets, in the wilderness, saying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Hallelujah. Make his path straight in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen. Oh, yes. Well, I
all
get
right.
It. That's Second Chronicles.
Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, I didn't mean to turn you back on there, but go ahead.
Oh, yes. Well, I wanted to tell you, yes, I get it. Second Chronicles 20:20. And I will study that out. So that's, you know, that's totally, that is a good strategy. Also, I wanted to tell you that you prayed for his son. And he was having troubles with his son, like his son was having behavioral issues and all kinds of issues that Andre couldn't really do anything about because, you know,
he was
where he is. And so the family was trying, some of his family members, his auntie down south was trying to take his son into custody, but the mother was, like, blocking and stopping. Anyway, that prayer that you prayed for him was so on point, Prophet Randy, because you were like, people are going to care for you, take care of you, and then you said, you're a good boy. And when you said that, it's like I felt something break off of this young boy. He's 12 years old now. So I thought that was just such a powerful prayer.
Yeah.
That was on
thank
Thursday
you,
last week. Okay,
sweet
so thank
Jesus.
You.
Thank you. Lisa, I really
are you
going to
pray for me?
Really, oh, that's right. I didn't pray for you. Thank you. Yeah, when it gets after midnight, it's like, after midnight, going to let it all hang out. And there's some song like that or something. That's a carnal song, probably. Anyway, at midnight, we can let it all hang out. So we're going to let it all hang out. Help Lisa let it all hang out, God. Not hold anything back. Let it all hang out, the things that she knows is obedience to you, not let it to let it all hang out, that her love for you, her passion for you, Jesus, her obedience to you, let it all hang out in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, for let it all hang out. How does it sound? I know it's probably a carnal song. I don't know, but you know how I get those songs with them. I mean, and I've never heard that. I haven't heard that song in, I don't know, years probably. And at midnight, I can't even do it, but thank you, Jesus, that you're releasing Lisa to a spirit of liberty, Father, to not fear, to when you know that you're in obedience to the Lord. Just like things that I've had to do that have been very difficult, I've had to say big things like, when we said Trump was not going to win any of his lawsuits, you know, he had like 60 of them. That's like, I thought, oh my God, I'm going down over that one. And we are going down over that one. In the natural realm, I didn't really think about it much, but because I knew that I had a sovereign word from God. And so when you know things, you know, you can stand confident and people are going to fight you over it. And you learn how to just go, well, you know, eventually they're going to get it. And we had friends who left me over that one. You know, who could blame them? It was a very passionate moment. And they just told me I was in deep air and just walked off. We're like, okay, well, you know, come back if you want to. You don't have to, but you can. You know, I never push any people, push anybody away unless they have some perversion going on that's ungodly, you know, that they don't seem to want to get rid of. Then we deal with that a little bit different way. But I deal with all kinds of things. I don't say that I deal with everything perfectly, but, you know, sometimes God just shows me things about people, and when I get something about people and I see what's going on with them, that they're not ready for anything yet, then I can't tell everybody exactly everything God shows me because it's highly classified information. But anyway, so let it all hang out, girl. Let it all hang out in Jesus' name. Bring forth the light, the right light, the right light, not the light, not that light that is in you be darkness, but the right light, right? The right light. All right. All right, 863-276. I think this is Nikki, I think, or her daughter.
Yeah, that's me.
Okay, Destiny, that's what I, okay, I wasn't sure. When I said your mom's name, we're going like, well, it might be Destiny. I can't get,
yes,
she has a number that's similar to yours, so I think, but maybe not. All right, let's pray for you, and let's minister to you, and then we'll come back and talk for a second, or a minute, or whatever. Thank you, Jesus, for Destiny, Father. We thank you, Lord, for the rebuking of the oppression. You know, sometimes the enemy just comes in and oppresses us, too, just because he thinks he can. He comes in and oppresses us and gives us a headache, gives us, you know, maybe not a physical headache always, but makes us feel like we got one, we have one, like we got, he's trying to crown us with something or another. We have to, you know, rise up and just say, Lord, I don't receive that. I'm not going to let the enemy oppress me anytime he feels like it. And so that's the thing. It's about anytime the enemy feels like it, he comes in and does, you know, and oppresses us. And the Lord says that he's going to show you how to stop it beforehand. I think it happens to all of us. You know, I think it happens to all of us. And when we learn, because he knows our failures, our weaknesses, he knows the things that mess with us the most. He knows how to attack us the deepest, the most passionately, the most passionate part of us. He knows how to, you know, stir that up, you know, with one little phone call, one little friendship, one little thing. Somebody saying something to us that, you know, we don't like the way they say that. We don't even like. And it can just send us off, you know. I mean, it happens to every bit of us. But I thank you, Lord, for showing Destiny, God, how to ward off those things where the enemy can just come in anytime he wants to and stir up stuff that she's going to close the gates and close the doors and say, you're not welcome here anymore. You know, because sometimes he comes in so seeming so, you know, you need to care for this thing. You need to care for this situation. You need to really care for this. So you start caring for it, you know, thinking it's God. It ends up being nothing but, you know, but a big mess, you know. And most Christians, you know, fall for it. I've fallen for it many times. So God has shown the body of Christ how not to fall for things. Don't even let it in. We let it in the door and say, sit right here, I'll be back. And then pretty soon they're all over the place, you know. And so God showing us how to stop it. Don't open the door to it. Don't let the thought processes open the door to it, because sometimes it's we have emotional needs and mental needs and physical needs, you know, whether it be food or love or whatever the thing is. He uses those things because he knows when we have cycles of, you know, love and cycles of neediness. And he knows that. Believe me, he knows when every woman has a cycle, he knows exactly how they, what they fear, what's going on. He knows how to attack them. He takes advantage of every monthly cycle every woman has. And sometimes he just rails on them and makes them crazy. I mean, it's pretty passionate anyway for some, but he just uses it and plants a lot of seeds in them when they're in that vulnerable moment. So God teaching us how to have protection and have thoughts to protect us from things and to keep us from opening up our lives. Men have the same thing. Men have cycles too. They have cycles of needs. They have cycles. He knows their weaknesses. He knows how to hit them. And boy, if he's not trying to hit you, you're not doing something for God. For him to be able to come in anytime he wants, that means there's a door open. And so we have to ask the Lord about that. Lord, if I have some doors open that I don't know about, that I just let the enemy come in anytime he wants to and oppress me and give me fear and give me, you know, worry, that I worry about people and
get overwhelmed with people and get overwhelmed with worrying about people, call it compassion when it's not really compassion, it's worry. You know, well, that's one thing the enemy hit me with for years was my mama would always tell me that I'm really worried about you. And like she was really, you know, she looked at it as a holy thing, as a godly thing, because she was really worried about me. But the spirit of worry is not compassion. The spirit of worry doesn't help anything. It interferes with things. And my mama was a good lady, a good woman, better than me, that's for sure. But some of her things, you know, her worries and all that stuff, they could try to get passed down to me, like, you know, when you worry for people, it's like you're so compassionate. You're so, and the enemy uses those things to get an avenue to your brain. He calls it compassion, but really it's worry. So God's equipping you with armor and showing you how to use the armor of God in a very beautiful way, because you're a mighty warrior, girl. You're a mighty warrior, no doubt.
Hey, that is so on point. I can't believe, I mean, this is crazy, because when you were on the phone, God told me to go get the oil, any oil I had in my house. I had to pray over this oil and sanctify and make sure that nothing was in my house that was ungodly. I even opened the door, get out in the name of Jesus. Like, there was so much. And I asked God to show me what is still in my house, what is still in my body, what is still there. So that's definitely right. Confirmation for me to know it's something I have not let go of, evidently, a person.
Sure. Okay.
I'm not sure. And when you came down to the section, being worried, yes, that's me. I care about everybody. I worry about them. My grandma just recently had surgery, and that's all I've been doing. I even lost my job over it, doing the most, just worried myself sick to death. And
bless your heart.
But God actually showed me other ways, and I've never felt any better. And it's odd because I've never been fired before. But I was under the impression my grandma was going to have a nurse the whole time she was there, and that didn't happen. Insurance only paid for one day. So I'm not going to leave my 70-year-old grandma. Like, I just can't do that. And
right,
I worried sick to death. Like, so much so that I had an anxiety attack, a panic attack, where I couldn't even walk into my job. So,
that's your heart.
Yeah, you're dead on the nail. And what's
wow.
The praise report is God's been providing. Even though I'm in this storm, God is continually to provide for me and bless me. And sometimes I'm like, God, why do you love me so much? He told me yesterday, because I'm faithful. Whoa. Glory to God on that one. So thank you so much.
And because that's just who
awesome.
He is. He is love, man. Like the first time I asked, I couldn't figure out when I first got saved, because I was a heathen of heathens. I wasn't quite as bad as Charles. Charles was pretty bad. But I was a pretty bad heathen.
I think I'm worse.
Yeah,
that
was
a rascal. Be worse.
And so, yeah, and so I had, you know, when I used to just drive around, I'd feel the love of God. I would feel literally the love of God. I'm going, God, how can you love me like this? I don't understand it. You know me. I'm just a piece of trash. You know, this is like, how can you love me like this? Yeah, so I understand completely.
Exactly. I question that all the time, but I shouldn't. That's my dad. You know, that's my heavenly father. Like.
Yeah.
He's a father to the fatherless, and I'm sitting here questioning every day. I mess up, like, all the time.
Yeah.
Like, when I mean all the time, there's cuss words flying out my mouth. I got a cigarette in my hand, possibly a beer. I mean, seriously. And I have broken down so much in the last couple of days of just, like, I'm tired. And I don't know what just hit me. I've got so much energy, like, out of nowhere. You ever heard that song, I'm Getting Ready?
Yeah.
I'm getting ready for overflow. When I got out of jail, I served a good little time. It wasn't a prison bit or nothing, but when I got out,
yeah.
I remember the CO looked like Rod Stewart, and every time I would go to jail, I would say, "What's up, Rod?" It was a girl,
yeah,
obviously, but it looked like Rod Stewart. And she was really nice on me. Like, might have been the other way, I have no idea. But to be honest with you, I really wanted to go to church. And I'm in max custody. And there's only a certain amount of people that are able to come out, you know, to go. And I'm new,
yeah,
in the biz. So when I got out, I asked her, is there any way I could go to that new prophet, you know, that's down there? And she said no, like she yelled at me in front of everybody. So I went back to my cell and didn't question, didn't nothing, but I sat there and prayed. Next thing you know, I'm being woken up, done, wake up, you know, come on, you got medical. I was like, I didn't ask for medical. I don't know what's going on. They escorted me down to the church, where I got to meet some awesome people that actually changed my life. I walked out of there saying I was going to be the next Paula White. And then I started hearing what God was saying in segments of three. And when he told me, when I was walking out, get ready, get ready, get ready.
Right.
Now, before my son was born, I had issues, you know, and
yeah,
with my husband, I didn't know if my son was going to make it or not. I had no idea. And
wow,
I had this open vision that my son's like 17 years old, and he's saying, get ready, get ready, get ready, because our Messiah is coming. Wow. Glory to God. This is awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
So everything he said just fit the bill. I mean,
oh,
seriously.
That's crazy.
Ooh,
that is crazy.
I feel the heat.
Well,
it's,
you know, you're such
a
warrior.
You're
a love warrior of the Lord, and the enemy doesn't want to let you go. God's going to start showing you the things to unlock it, to where the drinking the beer or whatever. I said and preach against things. But I preach more about the love of God and let God, you know, show you what to do. And then when you start getting addicted to Jesus, you know, that just fulfills that part of that, and we don't have to do those things. I mean, I used to smoke and drink. I've done all of it. And so
right,
it takes Jesus to set you free of that. I know Christian friends that really love Jesus, that were loving God for years, smoking cigarettes. Joyce Meyer was a smoker. She got delivered. She was teaching Bible class and going out and smoking a cigarette, you know. So it's like we got to quit judging people on those things and let God give them the grace to overcome it, you know, by just nurturing them and feeding them. And so you really have that love warrior. You're a love warrior for God. And so because of that, the enemy tries to get you filled with he tries to get you to hate. He tries to get you to people to hurt you, to wound you, because he tries to do just the opposite of what he's called you to do. And so yeah, so you're going to be really good with the sword, really good with the sword of the Spirit. And, you know, the devil doesn't like that. So but God's going to start showing you how to unravel those things little by little. And then you're going to find yourself just not doing stuff. You're going to say, well, I just don't want to do that anymore. Don't want to do that anymore. Don't want to do that anymore. And then you don't do it anymore because something's gotten, you know, fulfilled. But, yeah, so awesome.
Yeah.
All right, man. That's really cool.
All right.
Yeah, definitely. I'm more than sure you're tired, hon. I see what time frame it is. I thank you so much for praying over me. Is there any way you could pray over my mom and my grandma and my son?
And what's your son? Oh,
like,
you just
as a family. Like, everybody. It doesn't matter. Just whatever God puts on your heart.
Okay. Yeah, I'd be glad to do that. All right. We just thank you, Lord, for that we offer up our children to you. We don't try to be their God. We don't try to be their source. We don't try to be their, because when you're trying to be their source, most it's hard to not be their source because you're their mama, you know, you're daddy. So how do you not be their source when you raise them? It's a fine line to walk. So God, I'm asking you to give Destiny and Nikki and Sue and Christian, God, the grace on how to, break the patterns and reset the patterns. Let this be a year, let 2022 be the year of setting new patterns, of new treasures, looking to the treasures of God and doing what God says. And we can't be people's God. If we try to be their God, then we worry about it. And then we become the source. And we don't mean to. It's not like, you know, it's like being a mother. You know, you really care about them. It's really, so God has to be, like Abraham constantly was having to give up things, like yield up Isaac. You know, that was a thing of, you know, I'm his father. I'm going to provide for him. I'm going to watch over everything. I'm going to protect him. You know, and then God says one day, it's a young child. He says, a young boy, he says, take him up and offer him up. You're like, what? Purpose of that is because we have to continually give everything God's given us into the hands of God, because it's so easy to take it back. We take it back and then we worry about it. You know, I've done that. I still do it sometimes. You know, so I thank you, Lord, for breaking the back of worry to show Destiny how to yield that over to you, God, so the enemy can't find a way to get her to get into anxiety and stress and just, her body starts craving things, her mind starts craving things. She gets that attack of energy. That's that's not necessarily a God thing. I've had energy that wasn't of God. You know, it's just comes in through anxiety. When I start worrying, I've had anxiety and stress, because there's this energy that comes and won't let me sleep, then let me rest. And that's not God. That's not God at all. So we have to recognize that energy as not being of God and saying, God, where's the energy come from? Stressing, anxiety, you know? Yeah, okay, God, sorry. Show me how to give it over to you in Jesus' name. So, Lord, I thank you for Nikki and Charles, for Sue and Christian, God, that the whole family has an altar time where they give everyone to God and trust you, Father, with their lives. And then when you speak and say, do something, we do it. We don't just do it because we better, because we're the parents, and because we're obligated, and we're the obligations thing. This whole obligation thing has got to be broken off of people and move into the realm of being obedient to God. If God tells you to offer your child up, which, you know, I don't think God would do that these days, but like he did Abraham. But if he does, you're going to sit there and say, well, I can't do that. That's up the devil. That's it. But when God tells you to do something, you know, we just do it because there's some kind of cycle or some kind of something that's being broken, something that's being given over to God. So I thank you, Jesus, for giving them the strength, the energy to quit trying to be God to our families. Most mothers and fathers do this all the time. They become God to their children, and they don't even know it. They don't even realize it. Some people will take their tithe and give it to their child, take care of their child, and give it to God. It shows that they're just not really trusting God. You trust God first. Your tithe doesn't belong to your family. It doesn't belong to the poor and the needy. It belongs to the fivefold ministry, period. Then your offerings, you can do anything to do with your offerings. God speaks to your offering to give to your child and give to the poor and the needy. Then that's, you know, usually offerings are bigger than tithe anyway, in the people I've dealt with. So we thank you, Jesus, for releasing that, Father, that we honor you and obey you, and we don't try to be people's source. We let you be their source, God, and teach them. Be an example of how we don't just do things out of obligation, and you better do that, or you're going to look like a bad parent. You know, I think Abraham felt when they, you know, they're going like, oh, Abraham, you look like a really bad parent. You're going to offer your child? You are crazy, man. You are evil. You are bad. And all you have to do is turn and say, well, you know, in this case, God confirmed and double confirmed that he wanted me to do this, so that's what I'm doing. And he went and did it, and that's the way it was. So that's very difficult to do that and to yield to that. It has to be God speaking to you. I can't tell you, and it has to be God. All right. So, amen. We think the thing we have to dethrone worry my mother just thought it was she was just the most caring woman because she worried about things. Worried herself sick. You're going to call that a blessing? That's not a blessing. You know, I mean, I know it deceives us that the thought process of worry is that caring so deeply for these people, and we glorify it as some glorified thing. Therefore, it's easy for Satan to take you out. He just gets you to get worried. Oh, it's good to worry. It's a beautiful thing to worry. If you didn't worry, you wouldn't be a good mother. If you didn't worry, you wouldn't be a good father. If you didn't worry, you wouldn't be a good preacher. It's a lie from hell. You know, Jesus said, come out of that woman in the name of Jesus. Come out in Jesus' name. Set this beautiful woman free in Jesus' name. This love child in the name of the Lord. Come out, devil. You spirit of worry, you lying demon. Trying to glorify worrying like it's some, you know, thing. If they're not doing it, they're not a real person. You're a liar, and I cast you down and cast you out now in Jesus' name from these beautiful people. In Jesus' name, let it be done right now by the power of God. Let it be done by the power of God in Jesus' name. Yes, and over, okay, yes. Somebody else said me too. I go, yeah, you too. You too. Don't name your name, but in Jesus' name. Yeah, we cast, because I know, man. I lived in that world of worry, believe me, and I felt guilty when I wasn't worrying. You know, it's like, it's a trick of the enemy. It's one of the biggest tricks he has. He uses it on everybody, but especially women. Especially women. Friend, you have to, until you see it as a lie from hell, falling down at the altar of, and worshiping at the altar of worry, because it's just, I become such a deep, caring person, you know, and my mama was a caring person, but worry never helped anybody. It interferes with God's work. You know, I promised that over my pastor's wife one time in front of the whole church without even realizing what I was doing, what I was saying. I turned right around to her and I said, you're going to have to stop that. Stop praying. But she was praying in worry. She was praying in anxiety. And I said, you're hindering the work of God. I thought this is done publicly. And her husband, my pastor, I mean, to my shock, turned around. I thought he was going to rebuke me. He turned around with his face glowing. He said, yeah, I've been trying to tell you that. And that's exactly what he said. I've been trying to tell you. See, I told you. That's exactly what he said. I think he said both things. See, I told you. Yeah. You know what? After I rebuked it, a week later, they got like $20,000 come in cash out of the blue, maybe in a week, 2 weeks later. Yeah. And that's what they were worried about. But that's what happens. The devil gets us to thinking it's just a work. We're just a gift of God. Worry's a gift of God. Oh, yes. It's so holy. And it's a lying demon from hell. So I cast you out. And Jesus, like, come out in the name of Jesus. I rebuke you. You lying spirit, quit lying to your people, just like the serpent lied to Eve. Yeah, and Jesus said, oh, you know what? You know, God knows some things. He's not telling you. He knew exactly how women were made. Women got it. They want to know everything because they like to communicate stuff, and it's a God-given gift. And he used that very thing to nail her. Yeah, and he does the same thing with worry. Worry does the same thing. So you have to get the revelation on it in Jesus' name, too. Without you're just going to get the devil cast out only, get the revelation too. All right, I didn't wore myself out. Yeah. So I have another caller I see him, but I'm sorry. I'm going to go bye-bye. Y'all pray for me. I'm doing much better. I don't feel bad. I just haven't felt good. But the last couple of days, I've been starting to feel good. I'm just being really blunt, honest with you, what's going on. So pray for me. Thank you for your advice and your little things you send me to do, and I'm trying to do them, so pray for me that I will do them as God gives me the grace. So I love you guys. Thank you very much for being with us. You know, I get riled up sometimes. I get ticked off. I'm not sure if it's all God or not. I'm not going to say it's all God. Everything I do is all God, but at least you know how I'm feeling. I'm going to tell you that right now. All right. Probably better I get there. I don't know. Okay, so when you have prayer, if you want prayer, just ask. It's fine. I mean, I don't mind at all. Thank you, Jesus, for Mike tonight, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for my brother. We thank you, Jesus, for for those divine appointments, God. We thank you, Lord, for bringing them, and that that those divine appointments, God, that you're opening up in his mind. God's opening up in your mind a divine appointment, a new divine appointment door inside your mind, the doors of your mind, so that you have a expectation, not only an expectation, but when a door is opening up from God, you see it. When a door is not from God, you see it as not from God. And so that's kind of what God does. He opens up that door first of divine favor with us in our minds, so that when we see it, we can recognize it as God or not. Then we have the divine door opened up in our mind. If he doesn't open up our minds, it's really hard to tell sometimes about things. We can guess, you're going to guess 60%, you know, you might get it, you might not get it. But guessing is really difficult. And when you mess up, you really blame yourself. I know, and I do that too. So I thank you, Jesus, for that divine appointment realm opening up in Mike's mind, God, that he will see it, he will recognize it, and go, God, that's you. I bless you and give you the praise. And if you give God praise and glory and thanksgiving, God's going to perfect that divine door system. Yeah, that is good. He's going to perfect that divine appointment system in your mind, where you can, you know, reason through. Some we have to reason things through with God. The Bible says, "Come together and reason with God." But we reason with Him biblically. We reason with Him, you know, about the ways of God. We don't just do it carnally, as you know all this stuff. So we thank you, Lord, that as you perfecting that when divine doors are from God, we see them. When they're not from God, we go, no, that's the devil. No, that ain't right. Sometimes they can look like the devil and be God, right? I mean, sometimes doors come in the craziest way. But the divine door opening up in your mind will, bring confirmation to you in your mind going, that's just not God, or that is God. So thank you for nurturing that in my brother Mike, God, in Jesus' name, and blessing him and giving him a whole new format on how to deal with the goods and to deal with things and to process information. God, in Jesus' name, a whole new mindset, a whole new, mindset. I don't know, I kind of hate to call it a mindset, but that's why I'm here. A whole new mindset of how to set your mind, how to, you know, God set your mind. And once you see things on the inside, once your seer opens up, you see it on the outside. So God's opening up that seer inside of you, in particular for divine appointments. In that particular area. So, amen. All right, y'all. I guess that's it. I'm going to call it a night. Thank you for being with us. Thanks for your love for PGN and what we're doing. Thank you. Thank you. You're welcome. Thank you, my brother. You're welcome. We love it. We're grateful you guys are here. We're grateful we have your ear. God is helping us to feed your ear what you need and what God is speaking. So help me as I pray for me as I continue to do that by the grace of God. I do not know what I'm doing, except that I do know that I'm following the Lord the best that I can. But I know I'm not perfect. I know I don't do everything perfectly. If I did, I'd truly be a lot further along, I would think. All right, we love you guys. Thank you very much. Thanks for all your prayers and intercessions and putting up with me when I get riled up. Okay. All right. Love you. Bye.